WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. That's right. You're not dreaming. It's not Thursday. We are live on a Friday. And we're brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use that for free here for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free, just like I'm going to do. It's that simple. You just subscribe and it's awesome and you get free content from WTR for 30 days, not that we have anything under a paywall, but you still get it for free. So there you go. You get stickers and fun things like that. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
This is not YouTube. We have emotes.
Fine, you have emotes.
Stickers is a YouTube thing.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Hey look, thanks to Lin's Ward for subscribing with Prime Gaming for 13 months.
Ding! We're here, guys, because the time has come. WrestleMania is upon us. It is tomorrow and Sunday, and may this be the last two-day WrestleMania ever again. Please, God, in your infinite wisdom, please, no more two-day events, because I have a life and I very much would like to have it. But yeah, we're here. We are here to preview WrestleMania. We're going to talk all about night one, night two. We're going to slip a little SmackDown in there because we did watch the Smack of the Downs, and there are a couple things we need to discuss coming out of that show.
Hey,
and in a little bit, we'll be joined by Brent.
Yeah, we will. So can I hit the button?
You can hit the button.
Welcome everyone to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world!
I I've forgotten what that sounded like because it's been so long since we played it. I thought it was still the Daniel Bryan one, honestly. I forgot that we made one for Shane.
Yeah, we have. I could play the Daniel Bryan one too, but we don't have time.
We don't have time. We have to get into it. So, some really, really good notes coming out of SmackDown, which was essentially the pre-show to the pre-show to the main show. We had the tag titles on the line in a four-way, which was a little unorganized and civilized there at the beginning. They were all fighting for some unknown reason at the beginning. I'm not sure why, but it was the Street Profits taking on the Dirty Dogs, taking on Gable's crew. I forget what they're
Alpha,
called.
Alpha Academy.
Alpha Academy taking on the Mysterios in a tornado tag, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And I saw Rude and Ziggler retain. I'd be surprised by that one.
I was a little surprised. I figured it would have gone either back to the Street Profits or it might have gone to the Mysterios, but they kept it on the Dirty Dogs, so.
Good for them.
Nothing wrong with that.
It was their first title defense in 3 months.
Well, you know, like you do.
And then there was the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
I got it right.
Lindsay made a correct prediction by picking Jey Uso to win the Andre.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting time in my life that I actually picked a Battle Royal winner right. I don't think that's ever happened.
Doesn't happen too often, but it happened tonight.
It did happen tonight. This was a fun match. We had all 15...
22.
Or 22.
22. Useless people.
They're not useless. No, they're just not on WrestleMania.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had a lot of people, like the Lucha House Party and stuff that you normally don't see on television appear on the show. And, yeah, it was fine. It was a battle royal. Mustafa Ali eliminated a couple of his, you know, boys or former boys. And that, you know, was a thing. So, yeah, all in all, fun battle royal.
Fun battle royal. Like we said, Jey Uso picked up the victory. This led to Roman Reigns coming out to close SmackDown. But prior to that, we saw Daniel Bryan open SmackDown where he cut a really impassioned promo explaining why he's in the match, why he deserves to be in the match. And I felt it came across really, really well. That was one nice thing about the show was there was not a ton of wrestling, but a lot of people got to speak and basically push their matches for Mania. And one of them was Bryan, the other was Edge, and the third obviously being Roman, to just really send that point home for all three men of why they deserve to be in the match, why they're there, and why they can make a case to win.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the show when we get to the main event of night two.
Yes.
But let's kick it off. Reminder, you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network. You can give us your predictions. You can tweet them at WildTalkRadio as well. You have until 6 p.m. tomorrow night to get your predictions in for WrestleMania. So, with that being said, let's start it off. WWE titles on the line. Lashley defends against Drew McIntyre. So, this matchup is all about apparently one thing. Giving Drew McIntyre that thing he was supposed to get a year ago. The big pop.
Win.
The big pop in front of a capacity crowd. This last year was supposed to be Drew's shining moment. He still won the title. He still beat Brock Lesnar in a 5-minute match in front of nobody at the Performance Center. This year, they're in front of about 25,000 fans tomorrow night, which is awesome.
And several other thousand cardboard cutouts.
And several thousand other cardboard cutouts, yes. People are looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to this match. This was, at one point, a match that headlined another company, their biggest show, Bound for Glory, a few years ago.
Yep.
And they delivered back then. We're many years away from that point. Each individual has grown and changed and all that fun, happy stuff. But they're back in the main event. Well, in this case, they're going to be opening the show with the WWE Championship on the line, which is a smart move, free for anyone who complains of, why is the WWE title opening up? Because the person on that roster that should open be the first one out is Drew McIntyre. He deserves that big pop in front of the crowd.
Drew has done nothing but carry the company on his back for a straight solid year all through the pandemic. Bobby Lashley has been right there with him.
But the difference between the two is Drew does all the media. He's done all the media since day one. Even, no, I could have a point. He was doing, like, they did some charcuterie thing celebrating Peacock this week. Him and Bianca did a Zoom call with some media about charcuterie.
Like you do. I mean, you know, yes. Charcuterie boards are very important. You got to know how to make it right.
So he's doing everything possible. continue.
Drew has been the company man for Raw. He is absolutely carried for the last year. He has done, he's basically taken over what Roman Reigns was doing for a long time. And Roman's still there and he's still doing the media. But Drew's really taking over as the face of the company, which is allowing Roman to sort of transition into more of the heel role and settle into that role. Because it's a little weird that you have your top heel being like nice to everybody in media, and then he's like supposed to be a bad guy on TV. So Drew is more than picked up where Roman kind of left off, and has really, like I said, he's just carried. And right there with him is Bobby Lashley. Now, Bobby Lashley hasn't had the same road. He hasn't been doing the media. He hasn't been at the forefront. He's been in the Hurt Business. But they've done a really fabulous job of building Bobby Lashley into this really unstoppable force, to the point that he took the title off of Drew McIntyre.
What? No, well, Miz.
He took the title off of Miz, but he in reality took it off.
He helped Miz take it off of Drew, and then he took it off Miz.
Yeah.
To get to this
but
point.
But point is, he took the title.
He won the title, yes.
So, and you've broken her business up. You've built this story up between the two. There's not a lot of like backstory between the two in terms of this match, other than they fought a year ago right after Bobby kind of sort of came back to the company and or got out of, not really came back to the company, but got out of the storyline with Lana. Thank God.
He found himself. He found himself a group of dominating personalities.
He got out of the storyline with Lana.
Yeah.
Which was just always really weird.
It was really weird, yes. I don't know why you're whispering. It was really weird.
Well, just in case anybody hears, you know, it was really weird.
Guys, it was really weird. I don't know why it has to be whispered. It was really weird.
That's how you talk shit in the South. anyway, so yeah, so you've rebuilt Bobby Lashley into this monster character. He's a dominant force. He's the almighty. He has lightning now. And he and MVP are walking into WrestleMania with Drew McIntyre. And I'm looking forward to this match. I'm not terribly excited for it, but I'm looking forward to it just because I want to see not only what they do, but what every superstar on this card does with a crowd. Because this is the first time in a year that any of these individuals will have wrestled in front of a live crowd. Not just the Thunderdome, an actual live audience. And I know that they've missed it. I know that they've craved it. I know it did wonders for TakeOver the last two nights where the wrestlers heard the crowd and they responded and they turned it up a notch. And we know that the one thing that has been missing from WWE are the crowds, are the responses, are the wrestlers feeding off of that energy. Because the Thunderdome makes noise and it helps give them that, but it's not the same, right? You don't have that same ebb and flow as a live crowd because there's a delay with the Thunderdome stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody does, but I think these two, because they will be the first out in front of the crowd, I think they're really going to try and deliver.
They're going to try to tear the house down to start off the show. And that's the way it should be. The story's been, it took Drew 16 years to get to this point. Took Lashley 17 years to get to a world title in WWE. That's a long time. And we're not counting ECW world title. We're counting the world title.
Yeah, the main title.
The main title. So this is like, they've traveled down the same road, gone to the same places, and now they're at WrestleMania in a title match. It's a big deal.
So I'm looking forward to it. So who do you think's going to win?
Drew McIntyre's going to win the belt back. It's the story. It's the opening match. It's the story that has to be told.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think it was really, really sad in a way last year because Drew won his very first world title after all this hard work, after getting fired, finding himself coming back. He went down to NXT. He had a great run in NXT, and then they brought him up, and he kind of stumbled when he came back up. He refound himself. He recentered, and then he won the title, and he won the title to an empty building. And he's just standing there all alone. By himself with the title, and it was so sad because it's like it's this monumental moment for him, right? And there's just nothing. It's just emptiness and silence. And you're like, oh, that sucks. That so sucks. And you can even see it on his face, kind of. He's like, man, this blows. So yeah, I think they're gonna probably put the title back on Drew for WrestleMania. You can always do a rematch between him and Bobby. You can always have Bobby get the title back at some point, but I think that is going to be the moment for Drew that they are going to give him that, where he stands in front of a crowd of 25,000 people and several thousand cardboard cutouts and gets cheered as he wins the title.
Will Drew McIntyre win on Saturday? 8-Ball says yes. Magic Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3. Wrestler 2.
You heard it. You heard it. It was Wrestler 3. You heard it. You heard it.
Drew McIntyre.
Wrestler 3. It's Wrestler 3. Brent, when you hear this.
It was not Wrestler 3. It was Wrestler 2.
Anyway, moving on. I don't think anybody is necessarily looking forward to this next one, but we have to talk about it. The Steel Cage match featuring Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon, where Shane McMahon is probably going to die for his sins and everybody else's again.
So you wouldn't know why this match is awesome.
Why?
Because it is going to prove that Shane McMahon is going to be locked inside a steel cage and can't jump off the pirate boat.
Oh, he'll find a way.
No, it allows Kevin the opportunity to do the pirate boat.
They're both going to do it. It's probably a race to see who can get to the pirate ship first, honestly.
Yeah,
y'all. Spoilers. There is a whole ass pirate ship that they have built.
Yeah, it looks awesome based on the overhead footage I've seen. It's going to be cool. The set's going to be awesome. Like, really awesome.
It looks like it's going to be really badass. I kind of can't wait to see it, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be.
In all its glory.
Yeah, in the darkness, the dark glow. It's going to, yeah. It's going to pop.
This is the set that we were denied last year.
Mm hmm.
That we get this year, which I'm all for,
but yeah. So this match is about stupid is and stupid does, yada yada yada. Braun Strowman's gonna beat Shane McMahon's ass. That's what this is.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the story. I don't understand why the best they can do is literally have Shane McMahon use third grade taunts and call Braun Strowman an idiot to his face, which is kind of ballsy, but still basically implying that Braun's stupid and Braun's slow, which, get it together, guys, it's 2021.
It's not 2001 when we were doing which way did he go, ho 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 ho, which way did it go, ho 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 ho, because that the story line with the Big Show 20 years ago at Backlash led to all that, where, you know, Shane McMahon was taunting the big giant. We're not there
basically
anymore.
Basically rehashing that.
Yeah, and in a dumbed down version. I remember Shane McMahon had it like the storybook. It was telling the story of it, and it was cool back then. Now, as he says, it's stupid.
Yeah. So Braun Strowman, he's going to kill Shane McMahon in a cage.
Braun Strowman will definitely kill Shane McMahon in a cage, and Shane McMahon will probably enjoy getting bounced around a steel cage by Braun Strowman. Shane will probably try to jump off the top of it, miss.
More than try.
That's why I added the miss part. He's going to crash and burn. Braun will throw him into the cage a bunch of times. We'll probably have Elias and Jackson Riker probably try to get involved. He'll probably throw a guitar in there. And in the end, Braun Strowman should walk out victorious. That's the way the story should be told. He overcomes the bully and wins. So I'm going Braun.
I'm going Braun as well.
Magic 8-Ball, does Braun Strowman beat Shane McMahon at WrestleMania? Oh, it's a nope.
Oh, 8-Ball. You controversial little something.
Wheel.
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 3, you heard it! The wheel is going Wrestler 3 all night long!
Wrestler 2.
Nope.
That would be Shane. That would be Shane McMahon.
It's Wrestler 3. It said Wrestler 3!
I can't believe it hit Wrestler 3 twice. There's one.
That's so awesome!
There's one spot. One. One spot for Wrestler 3 because she likes that spot.
It's the joke, because it did that accidentally once, where we were doing a two-person match, and it did Wrestler 3, and so from now on, every match that has two people in it, Wrestler 3.
Yeah.
It's not Wrestler 3, Wrestler 3. And it's done it twice!
It has, in fact, done it twice, yeah.
The wheel likes me tonight.
It does. It does, for whatever reason.
Because it knows I want to laugh. Anyway, Tag Team Turmoil! Lana and Naomi taking on Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, taking on the Riot Squad, taking on Natalya and Tamina.
And
this is for,
and because they added on SmackDown, I forgot to change it, Carmella and Billie Kay.
Which is an interesting duo. Winner gets a shot at Shayna and Nia's titles.
Mm-hmm. So they tried. Let's be real. They've tried on SmackDown and Raw in the last 10 days to really put this one over. Try to make it special, which is, you know, that's fine. It's good that you're trying to boost up this match and whatnot, but a lot of it feels thrown together. Like, this constant need to push Natty and Tamina. Please never do Natty versus Tamina again. That wasn't good. There was nothing.
I mean, they tried really, really hard.
They tried,
yeah,
there was nothing good out of it. I like how after, 13 years, Tamina's finally ditched All Black. She's now added color into her life.
You see her shoulders, which I like.
I mean, well, she's showing actual skin. She hasn't shown that since 2007 when she first debuted. When she was wearing the leopard print with the Usos way mm-hmm. back in the day. You have Lana and Naomi who they're really trying to build some chemistry together. And they actually have chemistry. They're friends. They get along and whatnot. Then you have Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Every week I see Dana Brooke and go, wait, that's actually Dana Brooke? Because her appearance has changed a lot in the last few months.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
It's just like, wait, is that Dana? Or is that Mandy? No, well, that's Dana. Okay. Then you have the underdogs, the Riot Squad. Because, you know, everyone wants to pull for the Riot Squad to get nice things. And then there's Billie Kay and Carmella, Carmella picked the resume of Billie Kay because, you know, Carmella wanted to be on WrestleMania. That's fine. It was a smart decision on her part to get there. It's a turmoil match. The more teams, the better, I guess. When I look at it, it's like, do I really want to see Natty and Tamina fight Shayna and Nia? Not particularly, no. I really don't want to see it. Lana and Naomi, that would be the closing chapter of that story. Lana finally getting the big win and winning a championship. I mean, that would, in theory, be the smart booking move, right?
In theory, yes, that would be the smart booking move.
Dana and Mandy, I mean, they're a team. I honestly don't expect them to win this turmoil match or even win the titles. And then there's the Riot Squad. Like I said, they're the underdogs. I don't know. What do you think?
They have tried to make this special. They have tried to do something with the women's tag titles, especially now that NXT have their own. And Shayna and Nia will not be going down there to defend. The women's tag division is obviously in shreds because, you know, they let the titles fall to the wayside and they split up the only credible tag team they had, which were the Iconics. Please put them back together.
I mean, this would have been the perfect thing where, you know, Payne doesn't have anything to do, so she picks Billy and they would go into turmoil and they capture one last chance of glory. That would have been a cool story.
I actually saw somebody put out a theory about that they technically could do it because they're on two different shows. So they could technically reunite because it's a loophole.
It is a loophole. It is a loophole. Someone takes out Carmella. Okay, here's what you do. You take out Carmella. And then have Payne taking out Carmella to team with Billy for the turmoil.
Poor Carmella. She's trying. She's trying so hard. And they sadly took her gimmick away and gave it to somebody else.
They took Reginald away and gave it to Nia, I mean.
But I don't know who's going to win this match. I feel like everybody's on such an even keel. Because they haven't really done a lot to sort of build anybody. It's been very 50-50 with all of these teams.
I mean, they've tried for Natty and Tamina. That's basically it so far.
They've kind of tried with Natty and Tamina. They've kind of tried with Lana and Naomi. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, they were pushing for a while, and they fell off with them. The Riot Squad, they were pushing for a while, and they've fallen off with them. I, just for, like, storyline purposes, just because of the history there, I kind of have to go with Lana and Naomi. Like, I kind of do, just because that would be the sort of the crowning moment for Lana, is that she beats the two high school bullies that were beating her up every week at WrestleMania and takes their titles away.
That is the feel-good story at the end of the day. As much as we love to see, like, the Riot Squad do it, it's not time yet.
As much as I want the Riot Squad to win, I just don't, in my heart, think that they're going to. I think it's going to go to, like, Lana and Naomi, just because you can continue that story on Raw after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. because they've like had Naomi and Lana kind of flirting with Nia and Shayna, just like you've had Dana and Mandy kind of doing it, but there's already the history and the story and everything. And I feel like the Survivor Series moment for Lana just isn't enough.
Oh God, no.
So I feel like this would be the crowning moment for her.
All right. So you're going Lana and Naomi. I'll go Lana and Naomi as well. Magic 8-Ball, will the Riot Squad win? So that's going later. Will Natty and Tamina win? Outlook good. So it's Natty and Tamina for the 8-Ball. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 5.
Tag Team 2.
Tag Team 2 on our list is Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose.
All right. Moving on to a swinging good time. We have Cesaro challenging Seth Rollins. Or rather, Seth Rollins challenging Cesaro. who Seth has been a little shit ever since he came back. He's also had the world's tackiest suits.
Oh my god, every week they get tackier and tackier. He went on Google and probably searched for the strangest suits he can find and bought them all.
I don't know. I still want to know where he found the Leather Daddy one. Like, complete with tie. Like, I really want to know where Seth found that suit, because good God.
Okay, let's think about that. It started with that, like, that was, like, first or second week, and it's just gone completely the opposite direction since.
Well, that was the first week. That's where he showed up back on SmackDown, and he was wearing that all-leather suit, and then, yeah, he's just worn suit after suit after suit after that. And he's still doing the smarmy cult leader gimmick, except now he doesn't have a cult. And he's gotten into it with Cesaro, and Cesaro has just had a really good time swimming Seth Rollins around, to the point that every time any of the WWE accounts put out the video of Seth Rollins being swung, he has a hissy fit.
Which is great. Since coming back to Twitter, thank you, Becky, Seth has been amazing. He's full on embraced the vision of his Twitter, of his gimmick for Twitter. It's awesome.
It's great. I love it. It's like him and Sami Zayn. They just scream on Twitter at WWE constantly. It's wonderful.
I mean, sometimes you just gotta buy into the gimmick, and he's buying into it. The version of Seth Rollins he's doing right now is better than the stuff we had with Rey Mysterio and the actual cult. This is so much better.
Well, I will say that he did actually admit, Seth did admit, I think, in an interview that got a little out of hand.
A little?
I mean, when you gouge people's eyeballs out, it's a little.
They were telling stories. I mean, they had stories to tell, and they weren't the greatest, but they were telling stories. And it was trying to build the gimmick. I hope he gets new music, but then I heard music last night and went, stay.
Let him keep hurt it down.
Even though it doesn't fit what he's doing, keep the music.
Please keep the music.
God, I'm just thinking now, it makes me wonder. Because remember months ago, Roman Reigns was like, he's coming up with new music. God, it would be smart to debut at WrestleMania, but God, it probably will sound awful.
Let him keep the Shield music. What's wrong with the Shield music at this point?
Well, he was trying to turn heel and get new music, but that was months ago and we haven't heard anything, so who knows?
Yeah, no, just let him keep the Shield music. It's fine. He got it in the divorce. It's good. I don't think Seth really cares, and Dean's in another company, so it doesn't really matter. But
oh, speaking of Dean, you're nuts. Just that's all I gotta say.
Mox, your wife is very pregnant.
Please stop
doing that to her.
We don't need to see pictures of like you've been shot on the internet, please.
Don't bite people's wounds. You don't know where they've been.
No, you don't. Anyway, back to this match. This is Cesaro's biggest opportunity. As they pushed on television. This is his first singles match. He had the Andre Giant Battle Royal win years ago. He's been in some tag situations, but this is his first chance to really have that breakout moment. And he's against a guy who, let's face it, he's the modern day Mr. WrestleMania. Every year he gets in a big time match and delivers. Whether it's been in a triple threat with Finn and The Miz, whether it was been with Hunter, or did he fight Brock? He fought Brock as well.
He cashed in on Brock, and then, yeah, I think he fought Brock.
He fought Brock, he cashed in the triple threat, he fought Randy Orton, he's delivered every single performance he's had at WrestleMania, so this hands down will probably be the best wrestled match on night one.
I completely agree with that. I think they're going to work really, really well together. They know each other very well.
Yeah,
so they're just going to turn it up.
They've been friends forever. They'll turn it up. It's Cesaro and Seth Rollins. That said, will WWE actually give Cesaro that big win?
I feel like they might, just because they're going to position Cesaro as that next person to eventually face the champion, whether it's Roman or somebody else. I feel like they are putting Cesaro slowly into that position to be able to do that. Because there has been a very focused effort on him to build him up, but it's been a very slow, quiet sort of build with him where it's been a little overt, but not super overt. They're just really slowly putting momentum behind him and building him up and getting him ready potentially for, I would say, either SummerSlam or even Survivor Series, if they wait that long for him to go against a champion.
See, I don't know if
get a title.
I don't know if he can make it to like a SummerSlam or Survivor Series just because of other people on the roster that could be ahead of him. And that's the thing. It's like, if he gets his win here, he's got to be immediately shot to the moon for it. Maybe even, whether he gets, maybe he's a Money in the Bank winner.
He could be. He could be Mr. Money in the Bank. I think he'd be.
Would be a good spot for him. Just thinking out loud, it's like,
Because then that puts him in the position to take either the Raw or the SmackDown title, or NXT if he wanted, but mainly Raw or SmackDown. And so he, with Roman on SmackDown, they may have him target Raw, which would be a good thing for him to move over to Raw and get a fresh set of people to work with.
But then again, he's beaten Daniel Bryan multiple times, so he has like those big wins under his belt, but this would be his biggest. And then Cesaro and Edge. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud of matches I would want to see at some point.
I just drilled a little, I'm not going to lie.
Just pointing those things out. Anyway.
You know what? I really want to put up hope that Cesaro's going to win. I really want Cesaro to win, and that's not a knock at Seth. It's Cesaro has more than put in his dues. He's more than sat on in the mid card for far too long. He's an exceptionally talented individual, and I think if they're going to make him, it's sort of a now or never thing with him. So I would like to see Cesaro win this match, and I would like him to go on to potentially win a title or 5, 7, you know, whatever.
Whatever, something like that.
Whatever strikes your fancy. You know how it goes. What about you?
Yeah, like the whole thing, me saying Seth Rollins and Mr. WrestleMania go back to my head goes, I could see them putting Seth over just because it's, again, playing forecast in my head. It's like if Daniel Bryan wins, he's the babyface. He will need heel challenge. He'll need heel challenger. Seth Rollins will be a good heel challenger for Daniel Bryan, et cetera, et cetera.
But I feel like Cesaro could be a good challenger for Bryan.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that. It's just that's how my brain's spinning.
Just because it's like from that scenario, Cesaro could look at Bryan and be like, I know I can beat you. I've done it. I have the receipts. You want to see them?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to go? Like, you don't necessarily have to have a heel, true heel, to go against Bryan. You could have somebody be kind of that dick to him, which Cesaro could certainly do, where he is that very smug sort of individual where it's like, I have the confidence, I have the skill. And I have the receipts to back up the fact that I can beat you. I know I can take that title from you. And that could be doubled with Money in the Bank, where he's just walking around like, it's just a matter of time. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to step up, or are you going to make me come take it from you? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I can see that too. I'll go Cesaro.
I'm just picking Cesaro because I want him to win. No offense, Seth. Moving on, we have the Raw Tag Team titles on the line. We have the New Day taking on AJ Styles and Omos. By the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey.
This is our WrestleMania special.
Hold on.
What?
Magic 8-Ball, will Seth Rollins win?
Oh.
Don't count on it. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Cesaro.
Ding.
Now you can go to the next match.
All right. Raw Tag Team titles. New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. This is Omos's in-ring debut. They've done a really nice job of elevating Omos from being Shane McMahon's bouncer to AJ Styles' bouncer to potentially killing the New Day in the ring. I don't know who to pick for this.
I'm curious to see what Omos is about.
Yeah, because I've heard like some things about him.
But I've what have you heard?
I've heard that he's not that good, but he's also brand new to the business, so it's hard to say, and he's working with the likes of AJ, and he's on the main roster, and I'm sure, like, they've been working with him and helping with him, so I can't imagine that that's true, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to knock him because of rumors, but it's like, I want to give him a chance, because I am really genuinely curious to see what he can do, because he is just a mountain of a human.
He is, and what the thing is, I've heard is he's been down at the PC. He's been working hard, according to Hunter. He's been working hard to create, you know, build his resume, get in the ring, figure this out. So it's like, I'm kind of curious to see. Will he be in the ring a lot? I think he's going to be in the ring a lot longer than people have expectations for him to be in the ring. He's also 7'4"?
7'4", yeah, something ridiculous like that.
Hold on. Oh, Omos. He's 7'3", 334. That's a big dude.
That is a big dude.
So him having a presence is good for WWE. Him standing out is a big deal. No pun intended. And him being in the ring with guys like Kofi and Woods who will bump for him. Yeah, buddy. And he comes off to me, like when we first saw him, he's just like this big dude who says nothing. But he's coming across as very likable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I really want to see him do well. And then there's AJ Styles. Like, come on now. It's AJ freaking Styles. He's on a WrestleMania show with Kofi and Woods. Like, it's going to be awesome. AJ's a main event player who's going to deliver on a big show. He's not going to want to put up a stinker. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No. No. I mean, and let's all be real. AJ, Kofi, and Woods could carry the match on their own. But I think Omos wants to have an equal part in it.
And he will. He'll have his protected spots. He won't take many bumps, but he'll have his protective spots. He'll throw people around. He'll do big man things, and he'll probably do something we aren't expecting. And that'll be really, really cool. And then on the flip side, I mean, it's the New Day at WrestleMania. Who knows what the hell they're going to come out dressed as? You know they've been thinking of this.
What?
You know, I'm just saying they've had a year for a pirate theme of some sort or something for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my other thing. NXT did not stand and deliver on the pirate theme. I expect the main roster to stand up, especially the New Day. I fully 100% expect the New Day to come out as pirates. If I do not see Xavier Woods in some Jack Sparrow-esque guyliner, I'm going to be really upset because, one, he can pull that bitch off like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah.
But, two, you know, he just needs to.
I mean, Woods is the cosplayer of the bunch, so...
Like, and this is also the first WrestleMania without E, so it will be interesting to see what they do in terms of the theme.
But who wins?
I kind of want to say AJ and Omos, just because it's Omos' in-ring debut. Like, they're kind of building this up for Omos and AJ to win, and it would be interesting to see them as the tag team champions.
The only way they don't is if Omos turns on AJ.
Which he could.
He could. He has enough of AJ's crap and just leaves him hanging. That's the only way I see them losing. Because when you have a 7'3" giant on your team, you should win. That's,
period.
Let's be real. That's how it should be. You should win. You're hesitant on like, I kind of want to see it. I really want to see them win. I want to see what Omos does. I want to see more of him. So it's tag champ. Let's do it.
I think it would be something completely different, which is what we need. No offense to the New Day. Because they have carried for the last year, but it's a completely different direction in the tag division, and it opens up a whole new set of stories for AJ, it opens up the stories for Omos, and it opens it up for a lot of the tag teams, because no offense to New Day, we've seen New Day versus every tag team in that company 4 times. And it's going to be wonderful every time, and we expect it to be wonderful every time, so the idea that we could get something new and different, I'm okay with that. I really kind of want to see it.
And in 3 months, they'll win the belts back, and that's because that's what they do.
That's what they do. So, you know, in worst case, if it's terrible, they can always just change it.
Yeah, it's New Day winning in tag titles is easy booking. Let's see something different for right now. So you're going AJ and Omos?
I'm going AJ and Omos. I'm going
to go AJ and Omos. 8-Ball, will the New Day retain? No.
Oh.
And Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 2.
That would be AJ and Omos.
All right. Up next, in a long-standing build, I think that was something that we're all somewhat excited for, because we want to see what he can do. We've heard rumors, but now we want to see it. You have The Miz and John Morrison taking on Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
So, to start, Adam Pearce and Drew Gulak have been training Bad Bunny.
And the thing about Bad Bunny is he seems like he's very willing, so I'm excited to see what he can do. The dude can cut a promo.
So, everyone talk, oh, celebrity wrestling. You know what he's done? He relocated to Tampa, or Orlando, I should say, to train at the PC. As many days as he possibly can. He relocated, because that's how important this is.
He's been putting in the work.
Yeah, so for anyone who's going to shit on this, it's like... He's out here putting on the work.
Like, the one thing that, and I'm not knocking other celebrities, but the one thing that you can say about Bad Bunny is that he has a full-on respect for WWE, for what they do. He is a fan of the product. He genuinely wants to do this. He genuinely wants to be there and be a part of it. This isn't just a one-off to him. This is a whole deal for him. That's why he's stuck around since Royal Rumble, is because, or not Royal Rumble, but Fastlane.
You know, he's been there since the Royal Rumble.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, because remember he performed at the Royal Rumble. They did the Booker T song.
That's what I thought, but it's like, no, it can't have been that long ago.
No,
but
and, yeah, the, no. And the Miz trashed the setup.
That's right. So, I mean, it's like, it wasn't just a one-off for him. Like I said, he's been here since the Royal Rumble, and he's been there pretty much every week, except, I think, for the week of the Grammys.
Yeah, where he had...
He wasn't there.
He was gone for, like, 2 weeks, and he had Grammy rehearsals.
But he's been there every week since, and he's been a part of the product. He's been the 24/7 champion. He's been training. He's been putting in the work. I mean, I have nothing but respect for Bad Bunny. I think, honestly, if the music thing doesn't work out, he should come be a WWE superstar.
But here's the thing. I think the music thing has worked out for him. Just saying.
Yeah, I think the music thing has worked out too. But
I'm just saying, he's really, really popular in the music scene. You're just saying.
You could do both.
Well, he's clearly doing both. Once the world opens up again, you want to get this opportunity because he'd be traveling and touring for, you know, his musical performances. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a guy like this who had nothing on his schedule other than a Grammy appearance. I mean, just casually. Yeah, I have the Grammys. But...
But otherwise, we're good.
Otherwise, we're good. Yeah, I got any in SNL. He in SNL, too. You know, but, which he brought the 24/7 title to SNL. Casually.
Just had it right there.
Yeah. So he's putting in the work, and then they're in the ring with the perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
The Miz is the biggest company guy you'll ever see. He's willing to do whatever he can to put over the WWE and anyone that's involved with the company. Same with John Morrison. They're two guys who are professional, who are there to do the job, and they're having fun with it. Like the Hey Hey Hop Hop song, while everyone on the internet wants to crap on it, they were two guys willing to do it.
I have to respect them for it. I didn't think Hey Hey Hop Hop was that bad.
No, I actually thought
it was really pretty decent.
It was pretty good. It was catchy. It was something Miz and John Morrison were in bunny suits. Yeah, and what? Big Show was in a diaper.
Like, here's my thing with it. Okay, this feud.
Hold on. Big Show was in a diaper for New Year's and at WrestleMania. Remember that? And we still take Big Show seriously. Continue.
Like, Bad Bunny is a music sensation. He's a music star, right? That is his wheelhouse. That is his field. So what better way to insult him than to come up with a rap song, record a video of it, and play it for him, where the entire point of it is to trash him, where basically you're coming on his own turf and you're throwing insults in his face. Like, I can't think of a better way to insult him than to do that and have it actually be halfway decent.
For the peanut gallery, it was a big giant diaper he wore at WrestleMania for a sumo match.
It wasn't a diaper.
Oh, look who decided to show up.
He said 20 minutes. It was 50 minutes.
Dinner took longer than expected.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
I eat once a day, okay? Leave me alone.
Bad Bunny probably wrote it. He may have, Tim. He may have.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, old man.
He may have helped them write it. They may have come up with it on their own. I don't know, because I think they came up with Hey Hey Ho Ho on their own.
Yeah, they know what to do.
Isn't it past your bedtime?
All right, enough, Brent.
I know. I got my two shots in. We're good.
I'm excited for this match. I'm looking forward to it, just because, again, it's something different. It's something new. Bad Bunny has more than proven himself. I fully respect him coming in and wrestling, because he's been putting in the work, and I really want to see what he can do. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, this past week on Raw, they messed up his $2 million car, which, again, if you just wanted to waste money, you could have sent it to me. I could have used the 2.6 or whatever it was $1 million that you ruined a Bugatti with. But it's WWE. It's their money. They can do whatever they want with it, aside from, you know, they didn't send it to me. But you had Bad Bunny get into it with Miz and Morrison, and they had him on the ground. They were dragging him. They were throwing punches and kicks. He took a guitar shot to the back.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, he's flung himself off the top of the ring or off the ring post. Like, he's done all kinds of stuff with this. So I have nothing but respect. I can't wait to see him. And then on the flip side, because we haven't talked about him at all, poor Damian Priest.
The fourth man in this match.
Like, he's just been the perfect big brother to Bad Bunny. He's been looking out for him. He's been able to support him in this match. And he's the perfect balance in this, because he's got that calm, cool, badass demeanor to him. That's just, you can't really ruffle his feathers, but when you do, you better watch out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bad Bunny has not been able to be there, Damian Priest has been able to pick up and carry for them. So I think Damian has gained a lot from this. I think he will continue to gain because he has had to kind of take a little bit of a backseat, but that's okay because he's been right there in the focus the whole time.
He's in a mainstream angle with Bad Bunny. I mean, that's pretty good. Whether he's wrestling or not, he's in the mainstream angle.
Well, and the thing is, when it comes to Damian Priest, his moment is going to be at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things like, yeah, you let Bad Bunny talk. You let everything build up to it. And then you have Damian Priest essentially wrestle, not a handicap match, but Bunny will get his spots in. But we don't think he's going to be, you know, 10 minutes in the ring by himself.
Oh, no. God, no. That would be terrible.
Yeah. But instead, he'll do the Stephen Amell kind of thing, where it's like, they'll give him those high points that are going to get the crowd to pop, that are going to make him look good, and the rest of the match is going to be Damian taking on Miz and Morrison and looking like a million bucks in doing so, because he's going to run over them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be booked. Bad Bunny will take a beat down for a little bit from Miz and Morrison. He'll make the big hot tag to Damian Priest. He'll run wild. It's easy, simple booking, and you're going to get the celebrity over, you're going to get Miz and Morrison over, and you're going to get Damian Priest over. It is a well-booked angle from start to finish they've done since the Royal Rumble.
And let me just say, contrary to what some people may say, if The Miz loses here, it doesn't hurt him at all.
No.
In fact, the company is going to love him even more because he's willing to do this. Why do you think the Big Show had a job forever? Because if they went to Paul and said, hey, we need you to help put, you know, Floyd Mayweather over.
Okay.
Paul's like, okay, cool. I got a contract. You're going to take care of me. I'll do it. And in that match with Mayweather, you know, Show got hit. You know, he got to work because Mayweather did take some spots. But in the end, I don't think you look at it and go, oh, the 7-foot guy got beat by a boxer. That completely wastes him. It's like, no, you went, a boxer knocked out a 7-foot guy. That's possible.
Miz has been around for 12, 13, 15 years at this point. Who knows how long it's been. He's still credible. He'll always be credible.
Mm-hmm.
He is the true, as we said, the true company man. Where, like we said, he will be willing to do anything that company asks of him to help get something over. This is the man that has done countless media calls. When nobody else wanted to do the movies, The Miz was there. Well, commercials.
It's amazing to think where he also came from. Not just the MTV part, but he was hated behind the scenes.
Yeah, uh-huh. He was alone in the locker room.
Yeah, go change out in the hallway, kid, kind of thing. And now, I think he had a head about him when he first started, and now it's kind of like, no, he understands. He understands it's a business. He understands how things work. When you see him, you know, behind the scenes on Miz and Mrs., like, when he's interacting with people, he gets it. He knows. He's got his friends, and if, you know, it's not a friend, then he's still going to be professional about it. He's learned his lesson, and like you said, being the company guy, now the company can look at him and go, yeah, we can put you in any position and know you'll take care of it.
By the way, the Rock Extra Reviews Miz and Mrs. returns this Monday night.
Ding! Check it out when it airs. So, all that being said, I have breaking news.
You have breaking news?
The Braves won.
They did.
Against who?
The Phillies. I know.
I'm just saying. I saw it. Had to put it out there. Anyway.
Wait, so the Phillies lost? That's not news.
Yeah, it is this season. They're 5-2 now. Anyway.
Anyway, any final thoughts on the match? Anybody?
No,
anybody?
Let's go through the picks. Who you got, Brent?
For me, I've got to go with Damian and Bad Bunny. I think Bunny's going to hit like a top rope crossbody or something. Maybe Damian finishes off with a whatever he calls
whatever he calls his move now.
The crossroads, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The reckoning. You can't call it the reckoning.
Can't call it the reckoning. He changed it to something.
I think it's like End of Days or something.
No, that's End of Days is Corbin.
Yeah. God damn it. But no, I think he's going to hit his move, and it either sets up Bunny to do the top rope splash, or the splash sets up that. Morrison will probably eat the pin, and
no, I think Miz will eat the pin, because that's the build. Miz should be the one eating the pin. Hit the lights.
Thank you.
I don't think that's any better than the reckoning, but you do what you do. Lindsay, who you got?
I'm going with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. I think they're going to go ahead and give Damian the rub. I think they're going to give Bad Bunny the win so he can stand victorious over Miz and Morrison. I think that's why they've been there the whole time, is to be the perfect bad guy so Bunny can triumph in the end. So yeah, I think the good guys win in this.
Celebrity goes over. That's my pick. The celebrity goes over.
Magic. And Bad Bunny goes into the Hall of Fame next year.
Hey, Bob, will Bad Bunny and Damian Priest win on Saturday?
Wrestler 3.
It is decidedly so. We're not up to that part yet.
Wrestler 3.
God damn it.
Wrestler 3.
That's the third, Brent, that's the third one tonight.
I manifested it. Awesome.
Wrestler 2.
There you go. That would be Miz and Morrison.
Thank you.
But it's three times we've had Wrestler 3. Three times.
I'm just going to keep manifesting it. I'm just going to keep doing it because I can make it happen tonight.
That's the official pick from the wheel if it comes up. I'm just saying.
It's done it three times and he won't take it.
Three of six so far.
It should be wrong for that. Like, you should have to put Wrestler 3 for the pick and then it's wrong. And then I'm not
the keeper record, so they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, Lindsay, I'm the one that keeps all of the stats, and by God, if it says Wrestler 3 to start, it's Wrestler 3.
Nice!
The wheel is going 0-3 so far.
Lindsay just doesn't want to lose to the wheel again.
Well, you know. Shut up.
It was the 8-ball rock, get it right.
Well, we don't want to lose to that either.
Yeah, no, that was not good last night. That was just not good.
That hurt. You can check out the Rack Extra, just the Rack NXT TakeOver review of Stand and Deliver now available at RackRadioShow.com.
All right, so in our main event of night one of WrestleMania, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line as Sasha Banks takes on Bianca Belair. I have waited for this forever. I am so excited for this match. I can't wait.
The build to this has been kind of wonky.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Little wonky. They told the right story coming out of the Royal Rumble. They had the stuff with Bianca's parents, the big win. Then they convoluted it all with Reginald, and yeah, that was a thing for a few weeks. And they've had Bianca lose a bit in the tag matches, and it's like, this is so simple. Just have her win consistently. Just have her get in the ring and dominate your women's division. She beat Bayley, which was a big win, but that was before the Rumble. She should have been beating people like Bayley. She should have been beating Carmella in singles matches and the Riot Squad in singles matches. She should have just kept winning. She should have beat Natty. Just gave her consistent wins. But they did the tag team thing and what have you, because both of Sasha and Bianca were baby faces. I guess technically they're still baby faces. Sasha's a little bit more on the cocky side now in the heel manner. But
Sasha's kind of gone more heel than anything.
Yeah, she's
I wouldn't say she's really face anymore.
No, she's...
But she's not full-blown heel, is it?
She's cocky now. We found more of the old Sasha. Yeah. No, not a heel turn, but she's just more like the old Sasha. This has all the ear markings of the big Bianca win. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at it, it's like, yeah, Sasha's had her run. Now, like, we've spent years making Sasha. So when you go that long making people, it's time for the people you've made to make other people. And that's what you need to do with Sasha. Sasha needs to make Bianca at WrestleMania.
Well, the Horsewomen have had a run.
Oh, yeah.
In the WWE. Whether it's been Bayley with her year-long run, Sasha being I believe, six-time champion.
Something like that.
Yeah. Between Raw and SmackDown, mm-hmm. and two-time tag team champion. Yeah. So she's had quite a resume for herself. I understand that some of those title runs were like 2 weeks, but still.
But, you know, Cena's had two-week title reigns and whatever. Rocket McFoley had two-week title reigns, let's be real.
But you've also had what I would consider the two faces of the Four Horsewomen as well. In Charlotte, who... You know, anytime you need someone to carry that belt in the division, you call Charlotte Flair on the phone and just go, hey, we need to use you for a little while. And, you know, she can just dominate the women's division and have it credible. And then you've had Becky.
Who had that year reign of dominance.
The face of the company.
For a year. For 1 year.
And the only reason she stopped was because she got pregnant.
And even then, it's only because they made her stop.
Right. Although, if you've been looking at social media...
We'll get to that. We're going to talk about that later.
Okay. But, you know, like, the Four Horsewomen were the women's evolution. We'll just put it that way. As much as, you know, yes, Nikki and Brie, they were there, and Paige was involved. The women's revolution really hit high gear when the horsewomen came.
When they started to take over NXT.
They took over NXT, then they came up to the main roster and became forces there, and they've had their long run. But this Mania, altogether, at least for the women's division, feels like it's turning a little bit of a page. Not closing the book on them, because, of course, the horsewomen are all still young, they're still around, they're established members of your roster. But you've got these new sparks that are there, and it feels like the WWE wants to get behind them.
You need more main eventers, because you can only do Sasha versus Bayley so many times before people get tired of it. You can do Charlotte versus Sasha so many times. You need different main eventers. So like you're saying, yeah, this is the WrestleMania to make people. The first one you need to make is on night one, and that's Bianca, because they need more main eventers on SmackDown.
And Bianca, sorry.
I was going to say, and Bianca's got a lot of intangibles that would make her a great star in that women's division. She's athletic. She's charismatic.
She's a great personality for Fox Sports.
And she's powerful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going to back that up by saying Bianca has the it factor that they talk about, that they look for. She has that, like you said, that charm, that charisma, that she's able to speak very, very well. She's able to deliver a promo very, very well, which not all the women on that roster can do. And in this day and age, you have to be able to come across and be able to get your message across. And Bianca can do that. And in some regards, she can do it a lot better than Sasha can. I'm sorry, but for Sasha, sometimes it feels a little like forced, that she's like, yeah, I'm the boss, and, you know, hip hops and everything like that. Bianca, there is that very natural confidence in her that she's like, yeah, I'm here.
Because here's the difference. Sasha grew up to be a wrestler, right? Bianca grew up to be an athlete.
Yep.
Athletes have more confidence, because that's what's instilled in them from day one, confidence.
Because if you're not confident, how are you going to go into a competition with someone else and perform? Because if you don't go in thinking you're going to win and you're going to blow out the rest of the field, you may have already lost the damn match.
And Bianca's not coming into this to lose the damn match. Bianca's coming in to win. And I feel like they're going to right some of the wrongs that they did to Bianca in NXT. Not that they were really wrongs, but they never really gave Bianca a run with the title in NXT. They could just never make that quite happen. Like, she had these fantastic bouts with Shayna Baszler, and there were several opportunities with her where you could have pulled the trigger on her in NXT and had her be a champion, and they just didn't do it.
But here's
for
the
whatever
thing.
Reason, they didn't.
And that's a good thing. You know why? Makes tomorrow night special. Yeah, she hasn't peaked. Tomorrow's gonna be special because it'll be her first championship win, we think. Like, that's what makes it special. Like, no offense to NXT, when we've seen you get your big moments, like Asuka got her big moment down there, Bayley's had some big moments down there. This one's gonna be a huge moment.
I feel like,
oh, go ahead.
As I said, I feel like this is the opportunity to make Bianca. If you don't do it, this isn't going to be one of those situations where if she loses, she's still going to get kind of rubbed. No, I feel like they have built her to this moment. It's very awkward that the way that they've gotten her here, but they've got her here. She's got the momentum. I think everybody really wants her to win.
That's the thing. Everyone's getting behind her. The train's behind her. The movement's there for her big moment. You can get rid of the last six weeks of the tag build. You go from the Royal Rumble stuff to now. Everyone wants to see Bianca succeed. You see that her personality just shine on social media and in all the interviews and whatever. There's a personality there to get behind.
She could be your next face of your company, and she will be around for years to come. And honestly, if they don't do it, I think it's a mistake. I think it's not one of those things that you can go to the next pay-per-view and give her the title and it's all going to be good. You need to give her the title here. You can always have Sasha win it back. Like, that's the thing. Like, Sasha will always be there to put the title on. That's the beauty of Sasha. That's the beauty of Becky. That's the beauty of Bayley. That's the beauty of Charlotte, right? They are at the top of the division, like you said, and they're always there in a pinch. But this is the WrestleMania really of the future, where you have multiple talents that have been called up that are on the card, that they have put in a really perfect position to win, and they should win. You shouldn't be like, yeah, no, we're going to bring you up and then we're still going to have you lose, but we're going to have you get the rub, right? Because, you know, you're working with so-and-so. No, you need to have Bianca win here. You need to have her win that title, and you need to have her walk out on SmackDown and hold that title up and be like, I told you so.
So
the EST has arrived.
So what makes this interesting, right, is this is historic in many ways. One, it's women closing out the night, the first night of WrestleMania. Two, both African-American women.
Mm-hmm. Get it. Get it, ladies. Get it.
That's a big story. That's, people are talking about it. It's like, that's a big deal, because you don't see that even with the men in WWE. Mm-mm. This is big.
History in the making.
Yeah, I was going to say, this will be the second ever main event of WrestleMania featuring women.
Because
mm-hmm. the first one was the triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the first one featuring women of color. And the one thing I like is that's not the story.
No.
But it's a very, very important piece of history that they will touch on probably during the match.
And they've been touching on it during interviews outside of the company and PR and stuff. They're pushing that. To the TV audience, that's not the story they're telling. They're telling to try who's the best. The Boss versus the EST. That's the story TV's telling. Everything else is the outside media, which is the right way to do it.
And the one thing I do have to say, if Bianca wins and she is emotional like she was during the Rumble, I'm sorry, I heard people make this comment afterwards. That doesn't diminish her character. If anything, it makes people like her more because you actually see the emotion of it.
She's a human being, like,
right,
oh,
like,
God, wouldn't you cry if you won the Royal Rumble? Like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I would break down in the middle of the goddamn ring, but I know some people were like, she's supposed to be this cocky, you know, like, surefire person, and then watching her do that and watching her talk about, you know, her parents and Montez, they were like, oh, it kind of takes away from that mystique. I was like, no, it makes her human, and by God, I watched that in her emotion, and I was just like, good on her!
Yeah, so people are going, they're thinking of the character from NXT, the heel. She's not a heel here. Babyfaces have emotion.
But even if she was a heel, it would be okay, because it's that moment of, holy crap, everything I worked for is finally coming true, because she understands what winning the Royal Rumble means. It means she's going to goddamn WrestleMania. She's been down in NXT. She's worked her butt off. She's put in the dues. She's put in her time. And now, here she is, up on the main roster, a year later, where they really haven't done much with her, and they have her win the Royal Rumble. They point her at Sasha Banks, and she knows that she's going for the title. Like, I'm sorry, whether you're a heel or a face, most people would cry at that, too, because that's the very real moment that the company is putting their weight behind you. They are strapping that rocket to your back, and they're getting ready to light it. And they're going to send you to the moon. And for someone like Bianca, that's everything.
It is.
Because this matters to her. This is important to her. And that's not to say that it doesn't matter to anybody else there. But this is everything to her. She has worked so hard to get here, to get to this point. So for her to cry in the middle of the ring after winning the Royal Rumble, you know what? Go ahead. You cry. You've earned it.
Well, and to touch on the fact of, you know, Lindsay, you referenced a heel having that. I'll harken back to one moment, and you guys tell me if it diminished their character at all. When someone got called up as part of the draft to SmackDown at the time, Alexa Bliss was interviewed, and if you remember, she broke down because it was such an emotional moment. She got the big call.
And I don't think she knew it was coming.
No, she didn't know. But I love that little bit of emotion because it was just like, okay, we're seeing a real moment here. And then it's like at the very end, she clicked on and she did that little bit of Alexa. And it was just that kind of thing like, okay, you know, she knows kind of what this means. But at the same time, she's taking it in for a minute. And honest to God, I don't mind that. And for, you know, some people do, great, more power to you. But I really liked that because it showed real, like I said, a real moment. And I think if Bianca wins, yeah, we can see that again, and I'm totally here for it.
And to wrap this all up for it, there's a reason this is the main event.
Yeah, this is going to be a great match.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a great match, but they're going to give Bianca her moment in the sun. And honestly, if she wins, I full-on expect her to break down, and I want her husband to come out and tackle-hug her and pick her up and swing her around and celebrate with her. Because this is a moment to be celebrated.
Montez, get your ass out there now.
So with all that said, we're all picking Sasha, right? That's how this is going?
Yeah, I know.
No, no.
I think we're all going Bianca on this, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sasha doesn't need the Mania moment. She's had plenty. She'll have another one. This is Bianca's time.
Also, I can't wait for whatever entrances they give both of them.
Oh, God, it's going to be insane.
Oh, so before...
Her outfit's going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah, well, like, Bianca was, like, when she debuted at the Royal Rumble last year, when she made that appearance and had the long ramp and she had to skip the entire time, she had no idea how to skip that long. You better start practicing, like, now.
Yeah, you're going to have to skip down a pirate ship. Have fun.
Have fun. Magic 8-Ball, will Bianca Belair win on Saturday? Don't count 8-Ball.
8-Ball! You ho!
Wrestler 1.
That would be Sasha as well.
God!
The inanimate objects just like themselves, you know, the established talent.
Mm-hmm. But that's that's night one.
Yeah, I was going to say, with that, we are going to take a quick break. So everybody, go get some water. Go take care of whatever you need to take care of. Go get a snack. Because when we come back, we are talking all about WrestleMania night
2.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
On WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I just chugged a bunch of water, sorry. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, please click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen. You can use it here for free for 30 days.
How many?
Follow the channel.
How many?
One.
How many days was that?
30.
30 days.
30 days, guys. You can subscribe for free for 30 days. You can also follow the channel, or if you want to hang out and chat, that's fine too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. We are back with night 2 of WrestleMania because it's so big it doesn't fit on one day anymore, which is stupid. But here we are.
They're back in business. It's not too big for just one night. They're back in business this year. That's its slogan. And before
they're back and better than ever.
Fix your mic.
There. Better.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Before we get into the next match, one reminder, go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadio and give us your picks. Number 2, I want to talk about a rumor.
Okay. Let's talk about your rumor.
So, the other day, I sent Lindsay a message. And this is before all the big rumors came out. I was like, you know,
because Rock's the mole. We need to set this up now. Rock is the mole.
I had this thought.
He really is.
I had this thought, like, because there was, like, interviews with Bayley coming out of how she has nothing going on at WrestleMania, and that's unfortunate. The main event of this WrestleMania should have been Bayley and Sasha Banks. Don't at me. That should have been what it was. But here we are.
In Hell in a Cell.
In Hell in a Cell. With a flaming cage and all that stuff. Anyway. But she has nothing going on, and it's like, it would have been cool. Let's do a ding-dong hello segment with Bayley and have Becky Lynch show up. Because, you know, big WrestleMania surprise. I even threw in, let's put Charlotte out there as, like, the surprise. Like, Charlotte's the one who interrupts. Like, everyone's disappointed. Then, boom, the big babyface heroic return of Becky Lynch would be an amazing pop. And the internet just went, hey, you know, Bayley and Becky Lynch could be doing something at WrestleMania. And then Becky Lynch tweets out something on tonight on Twitter and on Instagram where she capitalized all the first words, letters in these words, and spelled out night one. The troll that she is. There was a big article.
You mean like at Royal Rumble when she tweeted the curtain?
Yeah. There was this big article that came out about her. What was it? L?
Yeah, it was an L.
About Becky Lynch and everything that's happened for her in the last couple of years. It's convenient timing. Is Becky Lynch showing up this weekend?
I mean, she could. It's entirely possible. She's 4 months out of having the baby. She's very clearly recovered. She's very clearly gotten herself back in shape. Not that I think she ever
was
really got out of it. I think she stayed pretty fit the entire time that she was pregnant. So she didn't really have a lot of work to do once she had the baby.
I know you want to give her props for 24 hours.
Okay, no, I want to talk about that for a second. Becky, I appreciate that you wanted the challenge, but it's fucking labor. It's not a wrestling match. What the hell? Why would you do that to yourself? She did 24 hours of labor with no epidural. And I understand that not all of it was hard labor, but what the fuck, woman?
I mean, it's the ultimate CrossFit, I guess. I don't know.
Dude, you ever have cramps down there?
No.
Know what that feels like? Like, imagine having really bad intestinal cramps. That's the closest that you could get to it.
I had a herniated disc in my back. Does that count?
Don't triple that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You're basically pushing something the size of a bowling ball through a straw that expands. That's what birth is. So, I mean, again, completely respect. She wanted the challenge, right? So she's like, I'm going to go through labor with no drugs. I hope she enjoyed it.
So I think we're probably seeing Becky return. A quick return. I don't expect her to be back in the ring.
No, it's just, and I mean, we talked about this, I want to say last night between us. It's just like, this is just a kind of, hey, remember me kind of moment, setting up for when she does make that triumphant return to the ring. But it's just placing you right in the front, or placing her right in the front of your head.
It's a WrestleMania moment in front of a live crowd for the first time in a year.
Wait, what happens if Becky's there and Ronda's in the crowd and they do the year build for them, WrestleMania 38?
They could.
They absolutely could.
Because Ronda's going to come back apparently at some point too, so... But the year build, because you gotta wait till there's crowd. You don't need Ronda yet, by the way, folks.
Yeah.
She's an attraction to sell tickets. You're not selling any tickets till SummerSlam. And that's when I would have Becky return to the ring. If they put her in the ring beforehand, that's her own call. She wants to be back in the action. And that's fine. I'd wait till SummerSlam, make that her first match.
I think you could really slow build her return back to the ring. You have her pop up here and there. and really slowly integrate her back into the product until you're ready to have her first match, mm-hmm. where you could almost do something like the man versus the EST if you wanted to. Or you could do the sort of the easy match, the easy build for her. Not to say that it would be easy, but it's more the easy build of Becky versus Sasha, because that's always a go-to that you can use.
You know, Becky versus Bayley.
Yeah, even Becky versus Bayley, we haven't seen that one in a long time either. So it could be a really nice way to integrate her back into the product now that she's, you know, recovered from pregnancy and everything, because this is how women's bodies work, y'all. It takes a minute for them to heal.
See, I was thinking something else for her. Hmm. So this is going to play into a match that happens later on this night. But what if a certain someone wins a match?
You can mention it because that's the next match.
Okay. What if, because we're talking about the new spark of WWE. So if Bianca can win on SmackDown and Rhea wins on Raw, what you do is you let Rhea have an opponent or two for that belt. And then, you know, like two or three pay-per-views in, that's when Becky walks out and she looks at Rhea and just goes, "You're keeping my belt warm. I gave it up. I didn't lose it.
I'll see you at SummerSlam."
Yeah, I'll see you for that real soon, mm-hmm. and walk away. And now all of a sudden you have Rhea taking on another huge name, and there's money in that match.
There is.
No, I'm sorry, we can't do that. My ovaries can't handle that.
But yeah, just picture Rhea Ripley walking down for SummerSlam, and Becky walks out. The number one, the crowd reaction for it, and number two, the match that those two can have.
I'm picturing it. That's why I'm saying my ovaries can't handle it.
But if you're going to have the summer WrestleMania, that's a great match to have for it.
It's a fantastic match to have for it. And honestly, I would have Becky bounce between the two brands until they go back out on the road and they have to have her on one brand. And presumably she's with Seth on SmackDown. I'd have her go back and forth between Raw and SmackDown. There's no reason not to, because she's not technically drafted to anywhere. So she could be that go-between for both champions, for all the women on that roster to get her back in the product. Be a great way to work her back in is just have her like set up feuds on both sides until they decide what to do with her.
She pulls an Edge. Which champion is she going after?
Who does she want? I want both. Okay, Becky, you can have whatever you want.
I
want
to be Becky two belts again, damn it.
She probably does at some point.
Okay.
That's fine.
You're like, all right.
But that's the Becky rumor. As Brett mentioned, we have the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka and Rhea Ripley, and we, you know.
There's not a lot to talk about here because they haven't really done a build for this. It's
because this is Charlotte's match.
This was Charlotte's match. Charlotte got COVID, so she's not in it yet. There is still the possibility she could come into it.
Hold on. She got COVID, but also she got pregnant.
Well,
no, she didn't.
She thought she did.
They said she was pregnant, then they said she wasn't pregnant, so.
She had all the signs of pregnancy except the actual pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, and I guess she threw a false positive, and then she went and took a couple of other tests, and it came back afterwards. Like,
No, but they pulled her because the WWE doctor said her levels were high, saying she was pregnant, but she actually wasn't. So she got pulled. Then she got COVID, and here we are.
To be fair, you want to be very cautious with that moment, too, because if she is pregnant, you don't want her anywhere near that ring.
Yeah.
Nope. Huge liability if she is. So, and they could still put her in. They could put her in tomorrow night. They could set something up. They could put her in the night of night two. I doubt it, or the day of night two. I doubt it, though. At this point, I would just leave it Asuka versus Rhea.
I like that Rhea's been doing interviews saying she's surprised Charlotte hasn't been put in this match. Like, she's self-aware that they could throw Charlotte into this match. And I like that, you know, you're just not ignoring it. It's like, yeah, we all know Charlotte could be in this match.
Yeah.
She's like, I got it. I know, but I'm okay that Charlotte's not in it. I actually prefer it because it's one-on-one Asuka versus Rhea. And Rhea's had that really sort of unfortunate hiccup where they brought her up. They put her in a really good position in WrestleMania last year. They had her lose to Charlotte, which was a little bit surprising. But we all know why, because she had to go home due to visa issues. And then she got caught by the pandemic where she really wasn't able to get back.
No, she never actually went back.
Yeah, and plus it was, I think it was the fact of putting Charlotte on NXT was also another big big thing for that.
They had worries that she had to go back. That's why they pulled her. She never actually went back.
But she was never really able to get back really on TV now, after that. They've been very spotty with her.
Yeah, she's been very spotty. She had the stuff with Charlotte in NXT with Io, and then she kind of backed off, and then they brought her back, and she's been inconsistent.
And
even her call-up has been really weird this time around.
But I like how they've done it this time around. I like how they've made her out to be a complete badass. I like how they're selling it. She's really found herself with this character. I think she really enjoys doing it. And she's just got that confidence to her again that I really, really enjoy, because it's a natural confidence. It's not like a forced put on for show confidence. It's I believe in what I'm doing. I'm here. I know I can beat you. I know I can take that title. So I'm going to do that. And they've put her in the position to face Asuka, which this will be a great match between the two. I expect it to be very hard-hitting just because that's who they are. But again, this is one of those situations where Rhea needs to win more so than I think Bianca, just because of how spotty it's been for Rhea. She was so dominant in UK. She was so dominant in NXT. She really has not had a chance to shine on the main roster as of yet. So I feel like by putting the title on her, that will reinvigorate the women's division. And that's not a knock at Asuka, but Asuka doesn't really have anybody to face.
Asuka's been the champion for 10 months.
Like, she's gone through everybody.
Has it been 10 months?
Yeah.
It's May 9th, or May 10th. May 10th, because I just looked it up.
No. She lost it in between.
Nope. Who?
Sasha.
She got it back. That doesn't really count.
She did lose it, though. It's like she won it back at SummerSlam.
But that was such the cheap loss and every... Like,
but she lost it for like 6 weeks.
I don't count it.
No, you count it, because you do count it. It did happen. But
she lost it for like 6 weeks and then she got it back. But the point is that she has gone through everybody in that division pretty much twice. There's nothing for her to do.
She's beaten everyone in both divisions for 2 years now.
She's always a credible champion. But I think at this point, you need fresh blood. This is about the future. This is about establishing the future. And I think they really want that dominant monster character. And for whatever reason, they don't see it in Shayna Baszler. But they do see it in Rhea Ripley, and they're ready to throw their full weight behind her. And if that's the case, I'm here for it, because Rhea will do wonderful things for that division.
So out of everything this person needs and this person needs and this person needs throughout this entire show, this is the one match I go, Rhea needs it, but I can also see them sticking with Asuka. I don't want that, but I can... Out of everything of what's expected, this is one where day of the show, Vince goes, let's keep the belt on Asuka.
I just don't see what you do with Asuka after.
I don't either, but in my head I go, this is what could happen.
Unless you're going to bring somebody up from NXT, which, okay,
You've already done that. You've brought up Rhea.
Well, yeah. I mean, there could be somebody else.
I mean, Io is very possible.
And if they want to do Asuka versus Io, I mean, okay. But you could also do Io versus Rhea as well. So, I mean, I would be fine with either, but I feel like just to reestablish Rhea on the roster, she needs the win.
I was gonna say, for me, if Rhea hadn't lost last year to Charlotte, she could take a loss here. Why? Because it's Asuka. The fact that Rhea lost to Charlotte, if she loses to Asuka this year, then it just becomes always the bridesmaid. And not that it's going to, like, horribly diminish her, but it's still like, if you want to make Rhea, you have her beat Asuka at Mania and just have her stand there looking like a badass holding that belt up, because even though she's had the runs and the rumble that were good, she hasn't had a moment on the main roster. There was the time she beat Shayna and everyone rushed the ring, and holy crap, that was a great moment. But I hate to put it this way, but that's NXT, and for a lot of the main roster, what you did in NXT doesn't matter. It builds you to this point, and it's something cool that you can put in a highlight package, but all in all, the storylines in NXT don't matter, and Rhea needs that moment here.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think this is, again, as we talked about in the Bianca match, a chance to make somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Asuka, as we've said, has gone through everybody and anyone they could ever throw at her. You need new people. She needs to be defeated so someone else can be made. And it goes all the way back. If you spend years building someone, their job is to make people. For all the criticism of John Cena and how over how many titles he won, yada, 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 he knew at the, when he had to make someone along the way. That's the only way you can succeed is you have to make someone so you have a rematch and a feud that matters down the line because you've actually used the equity you've built with someone to make the next person. So with that, Rhea Ripley's winning?
I would say so.
I really hope so.
Okay, so we're all going Rhea, Magic, Abel, will Asuka win? Yes, definitely. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Rhea Ripley.
All right. In a match that we're not quite sure what it's going to be, you have Big E taking on Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental Championship in a Nigerian drum fight.
Okay, so I've heard something. One
please,
is,
please elaborate, because they did not on SmackDown.
They did not. Supposedly, it's like an anything goes match.
Well, they could just say that.
But, like, so I read something where, like, the theory is, like, for it's a drum fight, right? So you punch and kick, and the sounds you're making are like it's beating of a drum.
Okay, no, but, I was no. a band geek. I've been involved in actual drum fights. It doesn't involve punching and kicking. It involves who can drum the best.
I would
and then you throw sticks at each other.
I would much rather love if you had, like, those big taiko drums and around the ring, and you just threw people into those instead.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
I want to know, but a guy can fly. I want somebody to take a full-on snare drum and they just pitch it at somebody. Like, I don't know what to think of this match, so I don't mean to make light of it, but I just don't know what this is going to be. And it's really confusing. There's also the quandary of, again, they're putting everybody in the position of it's Big E versus Apollo Crews.
Again.
Again. Which, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, they're building Big E, they're building Apollo. Apollo just got the new gimmick, he just turned heel.
Big E's gonna get the big entrance with Wale.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Big E's in the commercials, he had a fantastic promo tonight on SmackDown where he talked about, this is his hometown, he's fighting in his hometown, so we all know what that means. This is the kiss of fucking death.
Unless
right
you're Naomi.
Here. Unless you're Naomi. Like, anytime it's like it's your hometown, you lose in your hometown. But I don't want Big E to lose. Like, that's the thing. But I don't want Apollo Crews to lose, because it's like they're pushing both of them. Both of them should win.
If Apollo Crews doesn't win, there's nothing for Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
He's lost four times to Big E.
The gimmick's kind of over at that point. Like, I'm not sure what else to do with him.
Big E can rebound from a loss. He definitely can. Apollo, he's lost. Change gimmick, still losing.
I hate to say this about Apollo Crews, but does winning the belt really do anything for him, though? Because remember, the man was also U.S. champion.
Oh, it does nothing.
And he did nothing with it. He was just a body to hold it.
And he's still going to be just a body, but if you're making a gimmick,
I know,
you got to give it something. Yeah. And I guess this is something. No,
I fully agree with you. The person that absolutely needs to win this match is Apollo Crews, because with the gimmick change, with everything, if you have him lose here, he is absolutely dead in the water, you know, for anything. This gimmick, any other gimmick, you just feel like there's nothing there. So he has to win. But like I said, it's that kind of thing like, great, he's going to win. And he's going to be just another guy that holds the Intercontinental title that does nothing with it. And it's frustrating to say, because Apollo Crews is a good worker, you know.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He looks fantastic. He has a great moveset. But there's just something about him that it's like the smiley face thing just didn't work. The Killmonger angle he has now, it's different, but I still feel like, you know, it's reverse Kofi, essentially. He's in the Federation, and now he found an accent.
Just does nothing for anyone. Honestly, it's a gimmick that's there to draw some heat with no crowd.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Big E. I love him. The fact that they're trying to give him a singles run is great, and I like the belt on him, but it's... This run for him right now with the Intercontinental title just feels weird. It just feels like something's missing.
I think it's we've seen Big E one way for so long, it's kind of hard to see him very serious like he once was. Because we're used to him being sort of happy-go-lucky and goofy and sarcastic and all those things. And he's been like that here. But to see him in a more serious light, I think it's just different, right? It's not bad. It's just different. We're also used to him having Kofi and Woods to be able to play off of each other. Like, he is good on his own, but he's better when he has somebody there to play off of. You know, the example would be like when he was with AJ, when he was with Ziggler.
Yeah, he's always better with someone with him, but it's...
Well, for me, it's the fact, it's not even that Big E isn't being more serious. If you want to make Big E established in this role, I need someone that's a legitimate threat. And I never feel like Apollo Crews is a threat to him.
No, and it just it doesn't fit. Like, the story doesn't fit. Apollo Crews is not the right opponent for Big E.
Like, if I saw Big E and he went up against, like, Roman and Big E got serious, my response to that would be, oh, shit, this is going to be, you know, this is going to get real. And maybe we're going to gear towards that. If so, I'm here for it.
I feel like there's...
I just need something. I need something more. I need something like I said, a credible threat to Big E to really make me be like, yes, I want this.
And I feel like they're slowly building Big E up to eventually go against Roman or whoever has the title at the time, if it's not Roman. Like, they're putting him in that position because I can't think that they're just going to stop at the IC title. I feel like they want to move him into the main title position because he could very easily be a threat to somebody given his talent and given his general ability, because he does have that traditional wrestling background. He's very athletic and he's proven time and time again that he can go in the ring. So in a singles competition, he would be absolutely badass.
So that was the whole thing with Cesaro, is like, there's someone else in front of him for that big title moment. It's Big E. Big E's coming before Cesaro. You know what I mean? In that big SummerSlam type moment. The way to get there, you have to drop the belt, and I think he drops the belt here. Sadly.
If they move him on to bigger and better things, I think it's well worth the effort. But if they take the title off of him and they just do nothing with him, then obviously it's a waste. But Apollo Crews deserves a moment in the sun as well. And Apollo Crews is doing the gimmick. He's doing the best he can with it. They've gotten him the little guards and he has his spear and everything like that, which, okay.
Okay.
It's there.
It's there. I don't understand the spear. I don't understand the need for the spear.
Like I said, I heard someone say this. Vince McMahon finally watched Black Panther. And he's looking at this and he's kind of like, I can do something like with this. And so when you think of Nigerian royalty, you're going to think of, you know, someone holding a spear and the accent and like it's all just being put into this. But the spear is just, you know, it's that symbol of power and it's yes. Exactly. But it's just all those kind of tropes that you can put together in one thing. And the spear is just kind of a very visual symbol of, like, yep, tribal chief, but different type of tribe.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel it feels a little belittling to me. And that's all I'm going to say on it. But if it's working for him and it makes him happy, you go off with that spear, sir. Just don't poke anybody.
Who wins?
I nobody. I'm gonna go with, I guess, Apollo Crews, because I think he needs it more. And I hate to say that because I love Big E, but I feel like if Apollo doesn't win, he's done.
Okay, Brent.
They did the screwy finish to get to this point. They're having a Nigerian drum fight, and I when it comes to this, you've got to have a heel win at some point, just because otherwise it feels very face heavy. And I understand Rhea's kind of playing a heel in some respect, but yeah, Apollo needs to win here. He needs to salvage a little bit of his gimmick, and Big E can take the loss. He'll move on to another big boy like Sheamus or something, and I don't know, Sheamus is on Raw. He'll move on to another big boy and be able to, like, still collect some steam.
I'm going to Apollo Crews as well. 8-Ball, will Apollo Crews win the Intercontinental title on Sunday? Very doubtful. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins?
Wrestler 2.
That would be the challenger.
All right. And in a continuation from night one, the women's tag team championships will be on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will be taking on the winners of the tag team turmoil. Rock and I both picked Lana and Naomi to take the whole thing. Brent, do you have any thoughts?
Make it simple. Who you got winning the turmoil match?
Who do I want or who do I think?
Who do you have? Who's your pick?
I want the Riot Squad to win because I think having an actual tag team win and take on the champions and possibly get the belts off of them would be great. But I can also see them doing something else, which is Billy and Carmella.
Okay. So which one's winning?
I know. Hang on a second.
Try and get through some matches. Who's winning?
Yeah, it's Riot Squad.
Okay. I'll give it to them. So Riot Squad takes on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler in your mind. Who's winning?
Riot.
Okay.
They'll split up. The champions will split.
Okay. I'm having Lana and Naomi going over Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Lindsay?
I'm saying Lana and Naomi will beat Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
Magic 8-Ball, will the tag team turmoil winner win the tag team titles on Sunday? It is certain. So you figure out how that goes, Brent. And Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3.
God damn it. So.
I didn't even manifest it. Did it.
Reginald wins!
Reginald wins. But no. So to the point of it, I'm going to send them a picture of the wheel. It is legit basically right on the line for Wrestler 3.
Okay, I will be fair. Rock, I have used this website before. That line, it lands on fairly often. So,
Yeah, right on that line. Anyway.
Actually, it's a little bit...
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1.
So, that's the champions.
The champions. All right, next, Lindsay.
Up next, in a rehash of a rehash of a rehash of we needed something for them to do, and Kevin has to go off the pirate ship, Kevin Owens takes on Sami Zayn. We have seen this a billion times. I think this is full-on excuse for Kevin to just do a cannonball.
And it has big celebrity involvement.
I mean, I guess.
It has celebrity involvement, and I'm using that term loosely.
They're popular.
Popular, yes.
Whether you like them or hate them, they're tapping into a market. They're tapping into, hey.
They're going for the kids.
Yeah, they legitimately are. They're trying stuff, and to their credit, they're getting some interest there, and that's what counts in these situations.
But I mean, they could have gotten a ninja or a Dr. Lupo or even like a Tim the Tap Man, because you know Tim's in Florida. He probably would have done it to help out.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of Tim screaming "Yah." And Kevin yelling "Yeet" as he jumped off the pirate ship.
Imagine Tim and Kevin together.
That would be fun.
That is the true girthquake right there.
But here's the thing: there are 3 million, YouTubers. He's a 20 million YouTuber, and yeah, a little bit bigger of a draw. We would have liked the Tim the Tap Man. We would have liked the Tim the Tap Man or a Nick Marks or just someone in.
No, not Marks. No, Tim.
Merckx would have jumped off the ship, too.
He would have.
I mean, he would have if he was drunk enough, but I'm just saying, Tim would have been funnier. I feel like Tim and Kevin have, like aligning personalities.
I was just going with people in Florida. Anyway, I mean, a year ago, you probably could have gone with Tfue when he was actually a big deal. But that's notwithstanding, they got Logan Paul, which is fine. If you like him, you like him. If you hate him, you hate him. He did fine on SmackDown last week. It was fine. He's going to probably punch out Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. And that's fine. It'll be a cool moment that you can throw out to all the media sites and, hey, look at what happened. So it's fine. They're going to have a pretty good solid wrestling match, like they know to do. You'll have their celebrity involvement. Kevin Owens will probably get a big WrestleMania win, and Sami will continue to complain about conspiracies. And that's fine.
Yep. I'm thinking what WrestleMania would have been like with Tim the Tap Man, and I'm weeping. Just imagine that build. Oh my god. WWE! You're in the sound of my voice. Book Tim, please. It'd be entertaining.
So, anyway, round the horn, who you got, Lindsay?
I'm gonna go with Kevin. I think the Pauls will align with him and he'll get the win after he does a cannonball off the ship.
Yeah. Not like a cannonball jump, not an actual shooting out of a cannon on.
Hey, we don't know.
I mean, you could.
No, that was Fortnite Season 9.
It was 8.
8.
9 was Neo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
10 was X and all the weird stuff. So you're going, Brent? Kevin?
Actually, I'm going to go Sammy because I have a theory.
Okay, what's your theory?
So we saw Sammy pull Kevin off of the table against Shane, correct?
Yeah.
That's when Sammy turned heel and saved his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Kevin get a little physical with Logan on Raw, and Logan gave him a kind of WTF look. I think Kevin is going to set Sammy up. He's going to go to the pirate ship. He's going to look, and as he jumps to do the senton or whatever, Logan's going to pull Sammy out of the way. Kevin's going to crash hard through whatever the hell it is, and then Sammy slumps onto him for the pin.
Okay. Magic 8-Ball, will Kevin Owens win on Sunday? Better not tell. Okay, it's going the other way.
Oh, God, I'm screwed.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Kevin Owens. All right, what's next, Lindsay?
All right, up next we have Matt Riddle taking on Sheamus for the United States Championship.
So
somebody's taking a scooter to the face.
So I want you to say the cameo you want to see.
I want Matt Riddle and RVD to find each other. I feel like they need to. I'm pretty sure they already have. But I think we all need that in our lives, is for those two to find each other.
Riddle, they're going to hotbox at Raymond James Stadium.
Probably already have.
They probably have. Riddle's probably going to be on the scooter backstage. He just runs into a Hall of Famer backstage because the Hall of Famers will probably be there to get their big shining moment if they're still in town. And you just get a battle of bro, dude, yo, cool. And he scoots off.
Which will be more big than the match. I honestly expect this to be actually very physical.
Yeah.
Because I think we all forget that Matt Riddle can beat somebody's ass when he needs to. And then there's Sheamus, who just beats the shit out of people, so...
And Sheamus has a new look for this, apparently.
He brought back the mohawk. I'm so excited.
So he brought back the mohawk and he has Road Warrior paint.
We'll see.
I don't care about the paint. I care about the mohawk.
We'll see if that's actually true on Sunday. But they had a good match on Raw a couple weeks ago. I have a feeling it's going to be really good again. I don't know if they'll be given the same amount of time, but they're gonna deliver. It's going to be a really good match. I mean, it's Riddle and Sheamus. Riddle's a legitimate athlete. People forget that, as Lindsay was saying. He's a legitimate athlete.
Like, when Riddle gets serious, it's going to go down. Like, he will mess somebody up. We saw it in NXT. We haven't gotten to see it a lot on the main roster. I think he's only done it like once or twice. But when he settles in and he gets serious, it's on. And that's what a lot of people, I feel like, are underestimating about this match. Because Riddle can go and Sheamus can go. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they don't work a little snug with each other just because they can.
So if you go on the Peacock or on the WWE Network outside the U.S., they did the day of Fastlane, I believe it was. And it's the story of Sheamus and everything like that. And how, like, he's all in. He's talking about how he's had the best matches of his career in the pandemic era because he's coming and delivering every single time. And when you think about it, he's right. Every match he's been in has delivered, whether it was with Big E, with Jeff Hardy. Everything he's done in the last year has been underrated.
Because I think what's helped him is the fact that they are not on the road every week. I think he's one of the ones that has really benefited from being off the road and being able to rest his body because he does have neck problems. And that's why he was in the bar for so long, was because it was easier on his neck and traveling and everything to be in a tag team because then he wasn't doing all the work. But since the split of the bar, he's had a little bit of trouble finding himself, and I think he finally has again, and being home, being able to rest, being able to get the treatments that he needs to get, he's benefited hugely from that. He's also been able to get himself in phenomenal shape.
He works really good as a heel.
He always has.
Oh, but singles heel Sheamus is always really good. They've stuck him with some bad gimmicks, but he's always worked really good.
Well, the thing is he might have a bad gimmick, but dear God, he makes them work, just like Cesaro. That's why the bar works so well.
Yeah.
They were hamstrung in a these guys hate each other tag team. And it just so happened the both of them were like, all right, if this is going to happen, let's make the best of it. And everyone got on board with it. Number one, because they're good workers. And number two, because they actually did show personality in it. And even when it was goofy, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. So
because Sheamus and Cesaro to a certain extent, but Sheamus especially is another one that is not afraid to necessarily do something stupid for the sake of entertainment. He's kind of aligned with The Miz in that regard, is that he is willing to do pretty much anything they ask of him to get something over.
Because he has the trust of the office.
Yes.
And he has that personality and that sense of humor that he can just pass it off if he needs to. He takes himself seriously enough that he doesn't take himself too seriously, where he has his own head up his butt, like some other people.
It's very easy to say Riddle wins this match. He's the one they're pushing. He's the one that they probably have bigger things for. But I'm smelling an upset. I think Sheamus is going to win this match.
I think Riddle might get a little cocky. I think he might walk into this thinking he's got Sheamus. And I think he's going to underestimate the power of the Hawk just a little bit.
I just think everything Sheamus has done and all the carries he's been on, whether it's been on SmackDown or here on Raw, it's like the stuff he's done with Drew and everything, it's like he deserves a big win. And he probably may not get another big chance like this at a WrestleMania because he's what, 40, 41, something like that? And it's like
he's in his 40s.
He's on the tail end of his career, so it's like this is his one big chance. And Riddle will have more Mania moments. I think Sheamus needs this win more. I'm going to go Sheamus. Lindsay, who are you going with?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm going Sheamus.
Brent?
Just to be different, I'll go Riddle, but the thing is, I can see them giving Sheamus the win, because like you said, even though he had the matches with, you know, Jeff Hardy and Drew even most recently, and those were some hard-hitting contests, you never really felt that Sheamus was going to beat Drew, because it was, you know, Drew was going to Mania.
He was the champ at one point, and yeah.
You never thought Sheamus was going to win the belt and face Drew at Mania. So, in this respect, it's almost like if you give him the United States Championship, it's kind of like a nice runner-up prize. And you can always let him have that belt for, you know, 2 months or so, and then have Riddle get it back off of him if you want. I think giving Riddle the belt was kind of a appreciative bit of, you know, Riddle's entertaining as shit. Let's put it on him. And if you have to take it off him and have Riddle chasing can be good because he can get serious.
Riddle got the belt because he had to be because they had to get it off of Lashley. So whoever you transition it off to, if you transition to Sheamus for a month or two and then transition it back to a Riddle or someone else, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to go, oh, Riddle, you know, you took the belt off of Riddle. Oh my God. It'll just be like, Riddle doesn't need the belt.
And guess what? He could win it back 24 hours later.
I mean, it is the Raw after WrestleMania, a lot of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, it could happen. Magic 8 Ball, will Riddle retain on Sunday? Outlook good. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
Riddle.
Okay. Moving on. I don't even know how to set this up. Nobody's really sure what this is going to be. This is another one of those. Right now, it is a straight up contest. There are no stipulations. There is no apparent evidence that this will be a cinematic in any way, shape, or form. You have Randy Orton taking on the Satanic S'more, known as the Fiend, with Alexa Bliss and her box. This is the culmination of the 3 months of waiting after Randy Orton set the Fiend on fire, presumably killing him on live TV, in which Alexa Bliss summoned him back to get his final revenge on Randy Orton. I don't know how I feel about this, because there's a lot of history. Like, I'm excited for this, right? I'm really, really excited for this, because they have made some references to things in the past that make me very, very happy. The biggest one being is that they went back to, and Bray himself did it, where he referenced back to the punt. That's what this story is about. This is not about Randy setting Bray on fire. It is about all the sins that Randy has committed against Bray over the years, originating with the punt to Husky Harris when he was up on the original NXT, and he was a part of the Nexus storyline. It was very weird. But in the end, they decided to send Husky back down to FCW and presumably fire him. And so to get him off the main roster, they had Randy Orton punt him in the head, and he went away. Husky saved his job, and Husky became Bray Wyatt. And the story, since Bray Wyatt has come up to the main roster, we all know where Randy betrayed Bray after he welcomed him into his home, not his family.
He was a member of the
his home.
He was a member
was
a
part of the family.
He was not a part of the family.
He was. He was indeed a Wyatt family member. It is currently listed as a Wyatt family member. We all know he was part of the Wyatt family. Lindsay does not accept him as part of this family, but indeed he was part of this family.
It's not even hypothetically. It's just bald.
No, it was legitimate. He was, in fact, a member of the Wyatt family.
He's not legitimate. He's illegitimate.
We all have that line in the sand.
He was adopted into the family. He's a member.
He was not fully adopted. Luke never accepted him.
I mean, he probably did for a little bit.
He took Luke's spot. We'll just call it that.
And that is unforgivable. Anyway, so he betrayed Bray. He lit the compound on fire, and he broke Bray. Bray has referenced back to that as well.
Wait. Was he broken? Yeah.
I hate you. I fucking hate you. Anyway.
Wait, I've got it. Bray's going to get thrown into the lake, and that's how he comes back out in a new form again.
I mean, anything's better than crispy marshmallow news right now. I don't mean that. I have concerns. We're going to get to that. But, so, Bray referenced back to that as well, that somebody will break you so bad that you can't be fixed. Essentially, I think is what he said, and it references back to Randy setting the compound on fire. And then, obviously, there's all the stuff with the Fiend and that history there. So, this is a 10-year story, a 10-year feud that is culminating in this match. I don't really know what I think of this, because obviously they did the Inferno match. It was just okay. This is here. It's going to be in front of the live crowd. I have a lot of concerns about the costume or the look that Bray is sporting, because he has a lot of prosthetics, and I'm sure they're like set up to wrestle, but I don't know, because he has like the arm stuff that he puts on, and like the basically the arm like opera length skin gloves. Is that a thing? And, like, the whole face mask, which we know the Fiend mask was fine, but this is, like, a whole head mask that covers his entire head, not just his face. So I have a lot of concerns about how he's going to wrestle. I don't think this is going to be long.
Okay, let's go away from the match really quick. What we're going to see on Sunday night in front of a live crowd... 25,000 people. Now, I'm not talking about the match and the ending or anything. What we see between Alexa and Bray on the way to the ring is going to be special.
Oh, they're going to get an entrance.
It's going to be he already has a rock star entrance for The Fiend. God, and just in front of an open crowd in the open air stadium with all the lighting and everything.
In the dark,
because they're starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, by the way. It's going to look fantastic.
Oh, it's gonna be creepy as shit, because the outfit, you can see it on the technology screen if you're on Twitch, the outfit is terrifying looking in the light, and in the dark I just can't imagine. Can you just imagine that face coming out of the darkness? Jesus Christ.
It's gonna be a spectacle. We're gonna see something cool for, like, you know, they have something big planned for him. And that's exciting as a Bray Wyatt fan.
So I have a weird question. Mm. What music do they come out to?
The Hurt Feel, the new, the orange, whatever music.
The Fiend music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I didn't know if you got that really creepy Alexa one when she first comes out.
No.
And it transitions?
No. It's going to be the Fiend full entrance. Because whatever happened on Raw that night, when they set up the WrestleMania challenge, they played him out to the Fiend music.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets to keep that. They had that custom done for him. There's no reason to change it. Because I think that's the one thing that is synonymous with him and the character that he's carrying through, is that music. However it changes, that is his music. It's kind of like Taker and how Taker had the same music forever in a day. It's kind of the same thing, where I think they're going to have Bray keep that music in variations, because Bray owns the license to the song, I think. Or he has a license for the song from Crozer.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as this match goes, it could be, they've built this up for a while. It's like, is it going to be a spectacle of some kind? Yeah. Can The Fiend and Rey Noir deliver a good match? Yeah, they can. If Bray is looking to work really well and Brandy wants to, and Randy's willing to work, they could put on a really good match, because Bray's a good worker with the right opponent. Sometimes he doesn't get the right opponent, Goldberg. But with a guy like Daniel Bryan, he puts on phenomenal matches, and the longer he works, the more he feels it. Like, the more he gets into the groove of, you know, wrestling. And for Bray, he has not worked in 4 months. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. So he's going to need, you think it's not going to go long? I think it needs a little bit of time just to get the legs.
But that's the thing, I don't know how, sorry.
No, continue.
I don't know how well he can work in the prosthetics. Like, that's my thing. Like, it's, like I said, and my concern is more like the arm pieces than it is the face mask. I'm fairly sure that thing is secure. Like, they've probably tested it, but I just don't know how the arm pieces are going to hold up in a wrestling match. I don't know how they attach. Is it something where they're, like, sewn to the sleeves of his shirt and they're going to stay it that way? Do they, like, use a special kind of glue to glue it to his skin? Like, how is that going to work? Because the last thing I want to see is the prosthetic piece fall off of him, right? Where, like, Randy grabs him by the arm and the latex or whatever it is that they use to make it breaks. And you see his actual arm slash whatever underneath of it.
I'm not too worried about the gear. I think he'll be... It's gear made to work.
See... I don't see this as a match. The way that Randy has talked about he needs to put the Fiend down once and for all, essentially, and just the way that the Fiend is now, I don't think you can have a standard match with them.
You can't. You need a brawl. You need a fight.
It's going to be bells and whistles. It's going to move. I think either it doesn't, like, the bell doesn't start. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think something where, like, the Fiend's coming out and Randy feels like he has to get a jump on him. And so they're fighting around the ring, and you get for 10 or 15 minutes, or like 5 or 10 minutes, the announce crew saying, the bell hasn't rung yet and they're still going at it. And they're just throwing everything that isn't nailed down at one another until finally, like, the Fiend gets in the ring and then just waylays Randy.
Which could happen, or they could day off, say, hey, it's no DQ or whatever, and you have a fight. Because they've done that before.
Yeah.
The only way this will be bad is if they do what they did at, what, 33?
Oh, God, the projections.
Keep the projections out of it, and you have a really good match. Let's be real.
I think you're still going to have some fire elements to it. I don't know what all you're going to have, but I think you're going to have some level of pyrotechnics to it, just because... they have a different graphic than anybody else. It's surrounded in fire. And I know that's, like, projecting a little bit, but I feel like, you know, just based on the way that they're telling this story, the fact that Randy tried to set the Fiend on fire, tried to kill him with fire, it didn't work, and now he's back as, like, a melting human being that's kind of re-solidified, and you have Alexa being able to shoot fire. I think that's going to somehow play a factor into the match. I would have to say that this is probably... the blow off to the feud, but I don't know.
So wait, when she says the Legend Killer will die at WrestleMania, I mean, you kind of have to make it your blow off, because they've been telling this story since September, off and on, between the Bray Wyatt and the Fiend. That's where it sort of kicked off for this chapter. And you can go back and say, hey, there, you know, he's getting revenge for the WrestleMania stuff. We're going all the way back to the punt. Bray has every reason in the world to beat Randy Orton. Randy Orton needs to survive the Fiend. That's what this boils down to on Sunday. He has to survive whatever the Fiend throws at him. And he spent 4 months hiding Bray Wyatt, hiding the Fiend. There's no way the Fiend loses to Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
Has Bray ever won at Mania?
Last year, he won. He beat John Cena. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
He beat John Cena in the Firefly.
I don't think of that as a match, though. Like, that was the Bray Wyatt experience.
No, he lost. He's lost to Taker. He's lost to
Cena.
Cena. He, the next year, Eric Rowan lost to The Rock.
I was going to say, he got the Wyatt family lost to The Rock.
But that by the way, that was an awesome moment. Bray and The Rock, that was fantastic. I wish
that was goosebumps. I was like, yes,
I wish we had something there. If Rock was still around and was able to do things, that cult leader Bray and The Rock would have been top notch.
Aaron Bray, he never got it, and I'm so upset.
And we all, then he did the, he helped Matt Hardy win, and then he also lost to Randy. So this is the year Bray really needs a win. To establish himself as a WrestleMania player, he needs a win, and gets Randy Orton, who is a multi-time champion, multiple-time winner at WrestleMania. It's, you know, this is a good win for Bray if he's able to get it.
I think Alexa will play a huge factor in this match. We have not mentioned her yet, but I think because essentially the way that they're doing this and the way that they're telling the story right now is that Bray has essentially become a mixture of The Undertaker and Kane, with Alexa having the box where she can summon the Fiend at will. So he's now under her control. For right now, before the Fiend was controlling Alexa Bliss, and then we very slowly saw that shift in power between Bray and Alexa, and I think she's always had a little bit of control over the Fiend, but not Funhouse Bray. And that is the one person we have not seen yet is Funhouse Bray. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's gone.
For now.
For now. Interestingly enough, Alexa did confirm that Abby the Witch is still alive. And I think the pig is still alive, too. Because they just got kicked. Like, Abby got pushed out of the window, and Huskus the pig got punted, in quotations. Because
Abby was sitting in a... Alexa did some cameos, and the teaser one, you see Abby in the funhouse still, by the window.
So, and they could be bringing Funhouse Bray back. Bray's been back on Twitter. He's been really, really sassy on Twitter, but in terms of the character that we see on TV, so far he has not spoken, and he is completely under Alexa's control. So it will be interesting to see how she plays a factor in this match. If it is a match, I'm with you guys. I feel like it needs a stipulation, or it needs to just never start. And you just have Bray Wyatt beat Randy Orton down, and Randy Orton maybe goes away for a little while.
I can't wait for when Funhouse Bray returns. Hi, everybody. Did you miss me? And he's just doing the goofy wave. Anyway.
I don't think he's coming back.
No, I think we'll see a version of Bray again outside of The Fiend at some point, a few months from now. Just because at some point you're going to have to separate the character because he needs a voice. He needs a soul. But having no voice and having no soul, having no voice for a while worked for The Undertaker. Paul Bearer did all the talking and
Kane.
But I think what makes Bray interesting is his ability to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Is his ability to act. And, like, I think that was my one complaint about The Fiend is he has such good facial reactions, and you lost that with The Fiend mask. He still has the good body language, so you can tell kind of what he's doing when he's using his body. But his face and his voice are kind of everything. Because he is actually a really good actor. And having the full body prosthetics, having the face covered, to me, it takes something away from him.
But knowing who he is and the type of person he is and how creative he is, he's probably already thought of, okay, the next evolution is this, coming off of that. And, you know, and he will deliver another version of Bray Wyatt when the time's right.
When the time's right, but it's like, I'm just having a hard time with it, and I know we've only seen it like 3 times now.
Not even.
And so WrestleMania will be the really big test that we finally get to see The Fiend and what the character is and what it's willing to do. But so far, I'm not a fan of him being so static and kind of one-dimensional. I'm sorry to say that, but it's just right now it's not working for me. I need to see more to make a final judgment on it, but to me, it's like, I'm not digging this so far.
That's why Sunday's key, to see what it becomes and how it evolves, and then going forward, it will evolve into whatever it turns out to be. I'm not ready to judge it, because I see there's more long-term in it. That all being said, are we all in agreement that Bray Wyatt wins on Sunday?
I think he has to.
Yeah, he has to win, because if Randy wins, then what was the point?
I mean, yeah, basically.
No offense. Like, Randy can win. He could be the legend killer. But he set Bray on fire. He's punted him in the head. He won the title from him at Mania before. Bray needs a win. And if he's not going to get it here, he's never going to get it.
Yeah, I feel like the Fiend at this point is just pure anger and revenge. That's all he is. Like, that was always kind of the difference between the two characters, was the Fiend was a physical manifestation of Bray's anger, frustration, and his want for revenge. And he was more the protector character for the other character. That was the more normal, in quotations, person that Bray Wyatt, I think, is expected to be. And so you had that split personality. And now it's just the Fiend. It's just that anger where it's like the two characters have merged and become one. And the one character is trapped inside the other one. And the Fiend is just out for revenge. Just pure, utter revenge.
This is Randy Orton's the last person that Bray Wyatt has to overcome from his past.
That he can get to. Because the other one is staying home, and I'm very proud of him.
But who really, 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 really wants to be there.
Poor Mark. He just so wants to be at Mania, and Michelle's standing there with a spritz bottle like, no!
I don't even think a spritz bottle. She probably actually has him, like, leg chained to that giant chair he was getting interviews from.
No, because he went turkey hunting, so he's not chained down, unless he's into it. But...
No, that was on the property. That's fine.
No, that was in Alabama.
No, he went to Alabama.
Well, it's still the South. He's not heading towards...
He's closer to Tampa than in Alabama than he is in Texas. He's like a hop, skip, and a jump.
Just go with me on this.
No, you're wrong.
You're so wrong. Yeah. Like, he's like, he was working his way closer to Tampa, and now I think he's home. But for all we know, he could be in Tampa. We have no idea. But anyway, yeah, I think Bray has to win. Bray needs the win. If he doesn't beat Randy, then everything they've done for the last 4 or 5, even 6 months, has just kind of been a waste.
So with that said, Magic 8-Ball, does Randy Orton win on Sunday? You may rely on it.
Well, sure, now you agree with me.
No, it said Randy. Randy.
Oh, you whore.
Wrestler 1.
Randy.
All right. And in your main event for the championship on SmackDown, WWE Championship, you have, in a rather controversial main event, Roman Reigns taking on your Royal Rumble winner, Edge, taking on Daniel Bryan. And we got 3 very impassioned speeches tonight on SmackDown, why each man deserves to win, and from Daniel Bryan, why he deserves to be in the match. And I know a lot of people are upset that they put Bryan in to the match with Roman and Edge, and they made this a 3-way. But the reason why they did it is because somebody is there to eat the pin for somebody else. We don't know who, but that's why.
And we'll get to who that is in a minute. You talked about Daniel Bryan's passionate speech. Edge went into the ring on SmackDown tonight, sat in the middle of the ring in a chair, and just talked about everything. Talked about how if this was Daniel Bryan's big moment, you know, coming out of the Rumble there, and, you know, 10 years later returning and stuff, there'd be big swans, big musical performances, piano music playing under video packages and whatnot for him. And, like, Edge doesn't get it, because it was 10 years to the... Sunday is 10 years to the day he retired.
Fitting.
It's fitting. It was, or I don't know if it's the day he retired or it was like the last time he was a WrestleMania and retained the title. I forget what the, but it's 10 years. He just sat there. He talked about everything. He called Roman Reigns the Samoan Edge. I mean, not a lie. It really isn't a lie. And then Roman Reigns talked about, I don't have to be here cutting on promo. I'm not a salesman. I'm not the pitch man. I'm going to WrestleMania. And he's the head of the table. It's, you have 3 guys who are just out there who are going to deliver it. It was made a point on WTR, like, this match shouldn't be happening. Edge with his surgeries, Daniel Bryan with his surgeries, and Roman Reigns with his health. They've all battled back to make it here. Edge has gone from babyface to kind of back to being the heel Rated R superstar, because I think that's where he's most comfortable. He talked about not doing his greatest hits anymore. And he shouldn't. He's not coming back. He's out there. He's put it. I'm out here doing top rope hurricanranas. He had triple fusion neck surgery to get to this point, to get back his dream of being at the in the being back at WrestleMania, being back in the main event, fighting for the championship. This one's gonna be like Saturday. Cesaro and Seth Rollins are gonna probably have the best wrestling match of that night. For this night, these three men are gonna steal the show and close out the show the right way.
Rock, just to let you know, it was the retirement speech that was 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, this we talked about this, I want to say a week ago between the three of us, that 5 years ago, or even last year at this point, you would never have thought you'd see this triple threat ever. Roman was coming off of leukemia, and even at this point, he was taking time away because of COVID and his suppressed immune system. Edge was just coming back and fighting Randy, and Daniel had been back, but we never thought we'd get all three of these guys in a ring together. This is a dream match, and yet it kind of baffles my mind that some people are complaining about the fact that, like, oh, Daniel got inserted into this match. Him coming in adds another dynamic to it. If it was just Roman and Edge, then don't get me wrong, it'd still be a great match. But I don't know. I think Daniel in there and just the dynamic nature that he brings into this can bring out sides of both of the other opponents that they couldn't do on their own.
I feel like what Daniel will bring to the table in this match is he will help to keep the match moving. Because Roman's character, he likes to do these very slow, kind of methodical matches. And while that's great, and there's a lot of storytelling in it, it's not the most entertaining thing to watch. And so I think by adding Daniel into this, you will get more movement in the match. You'll get more action in it. And that will help keep it a little bit more exciting, because I will say that is kind of one of my one complaints about watching Roman's matches is while they're good and they're kind of entertaining, they're a little bit boring, and you kind of, at least for me, I tune out after a while. Like, I just lose interest after a while. So I think it's good that Daniel is in the match because he will help add something to it. Not that it needed it, but it's just that little extra, you know, zhuzh, like you said. Where it's just, it's something different. It's something to challenge both men.
And I think the perfect way to describe Roman's style, aside from methodical, is he's deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every move that he's doing is powerful, and it's to absolutely wear his opponent down. Now, like you said, from a stylistic standpoint, it really takes something to watch his matches, because, like, when he fought Jay, and it was just the beatdown, and it was the slow, deliberate beatdown of Jey Uso, it was all there for the talking.
Mm-hmm.
It was all, because that's what made the match. It wasn't, the moves that they did were good, but it was the story they were telling where Roman was beating him down and talking to him the entire time, and just, not just beating him physically, but beating him verbally and emotionally in that match. And that's what ultimately did it, was basically, he broke his cousin's heart in addition to his body. And so I think for something like Mania, you need a little something extra there, because we saw Roman and Drew fight a couple, like two Manias ago. We don't need that match again with him. We needed something where, like, Edge can move a little bit quicker, but at the same time, he hasn't been in the ring in a while. He's gotten a couple of matches in to knock some rust off, but this is the big stage. This is going to be in front of fans. You're not going to have the camera edits that you did in, say, a last man standing match like last year. So yeah, adding Bryan in, keeping it moving, keeping a match interesting is important, especially for the main event of night two.
With all that said, who's winning?
Oh, this one's really difficult, though.
Three. This could go any different way. That's why it's so difficult to pick.
So 3 months ago, we had an easy winner. Easy.
It was going to be the completion of the Edge story.
Yeah, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Now, I still think it goes to Edge.
I don't know,
but
though,
I'm not as sure as I was 3 months ago, where it's like Edge wins easy, boom. But the Daniel Bryan wrinkle?
Because here's the thing, you have like two men in there, Edge and Bryan, who technically never lost their last title, and they never got it back. Both of them lost it because of medical retirement.
No, Daniel won it back when he came back, remember?
Yeah, he lost to Kofi.
Remember he had the wooden belt thing?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Kofi Mania 2 years ago.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
And he had the tag belts. And yeah.
I forgot about that. Sorry. My bad. Never mind.
But no, I mean.
It was a good story. It was a good premise. But Bryan already did the moment. He beat AJ and then, you know, ran as the earth champion.
See, if Edge wasn't heel for wasn't trending a little heel for this, I would be more inclined to go with him, because I think that moment at the end of the night of the redemptive arc coming back to the ring is something.
All right, I want to interrupt you really quick. We say he's heelish, right? We say it because they're telling us like he's in that direction, right? What's the one element we don't know? The crowd.
I was going to say, what tunnel he comes out of?
Not what tunnel, but the crowd. We don't know. No one knows what the reaction for any superstar is going to be on this weekend in front of that crowd. TV is telling us Edge is leaning heel, right? There are going to be people in that crowd who've been behind Edge forever, want to see him win and cheer him. Hell, this crowd could be cheering Roman Reigns for all we know, because they're finally doing everything the crowd's wanted them to do for 5-6 years already. You don't know what the WWE Universe thinks, because this is the first time in a year they're going to be in front of the crowd.
That's one thing, but here's the question. Do you change something on the fly because of the crowd reaction?
No.
Because you're not going to know it until they walk out.
You tell your story no matter what. Because whatever happens here, the next 4 months, you still control the environment.
Yeah. I wasn't suggesting they change it, but it's also like...
If they were going to continue in front of crowds, then you think about it. But they're not. They're still controlling the environment for 4 months. What makes this difficult? As Brent thinks, because Lindsay posted something and we were able to watch it. Holy crap. The set...
The set is ridiculous. Y'all, after the show, go to WWE's Twitter. Check it out if you're listening to this live.
Yeah, I just retweeted it. It's on the Wild Talk Radio Twitter. It's the LED boards they have at the top of the stadium. Ridiculous. Dude.
It's ridiculous.
They've gone all out. It's like, I missed this.
I'm weeping because we didn't get this set last year. I knew it was epic. I knew it was going to be badass.
And God, it's so awesome.
It's like, you glorious, glorious bastards, thank you for this.
Oh God, they have giant pillars around the ring. It's the new versions of palm trees.
Well, they always have the pillars. They always have
But
they have to, because it may rain. So...
Whoopsie!
It's Florida.
What you get for having an outdoor mania.
It's Florida and in the spring, it may rain. I'm gonna be the first one to go, I got Edge. That's my pick.
Is it wrong I don't want Edge to win?
No, it's not wrong.
I honestly kind of really do want to see Brian, like, swing in and take the title out from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's how it goes sometimes, and that's life.
He did it to Batista.
Like, I could completely see Brian just coming in, and he's got Edge's number, and he's got Roman's number. Because, ultimately, Edge's champion again is really, really cool. And I think it's a great novelty, but looking at it long term, it doesn't really do anything for me. Like, it would be cool if it's another notch that he can add to his belt, but it's like, he's already a Hall of Famer. It's not really gonna do anything beyond just be really, a really cool moment. Which, if that's all he needs, that's all he needs. But
I think the wrinkle here is what happens after.
Yeah, it's like, where do they go after this?
Because here's the thing. We all kind of know this is probably Daniel's last run.
Yeah.
There's been talk that he wants to go home. He wants to, you know, be there for Birdie and I can't remember the second kid's name.
Joe.
Thank you. You know, he doesn't have a problem playing dad.
Or not Joe. It's Birdie's middle name. Shit.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Birdie and Buddy. Brian.
For his dad.
Yeah. So... this is probably the last run Daniel's going to have. If he gets the belt, cool, you know, let it go for a little bit. Same thing for Edge. Edge is probably not going to be wrestling for a long time. Beth is there doing commentary in NXT. They've got the kids. So Edge can have one final run too. I think the one thing I can say about this, and I know it's probably going to doom me because he will win, Roman has to lose at some point.
Remember the whole thing? It was only supposed to be a short title reign.
Don't get me wrong, as the head of the table is great.
He needs motivation to, you know, after losing, he's been unstoppable. Now he needs motivation to get it back.
Well, and like like Lindsay mentioned earlier, someone can eat the pin, and it doesn't have to be Roman, and he can sit there and be like, no one defeated me for my belt.
I feel like Roman's gotten complacent, and he kind of has that same attitude that Brock had, that nobody can beat him until somebody beats him and upsets him. And it's kind of one of those things that we keep saying it with Roman, that somebody's going to outsmart him. It's not that they're going to outwork him. It's not that they're going to beat him down. They will do that to a degree. But what's going to get Roman in the ass is he's going to get outsmarted by somebody. And this is the perfect situation to do that, which, like you said, somebody can pin, either Brian can pin Edge or Edge can pin Brian. And just like that, Roman's title is gone. It's the perfect way to take it off of him for a little while, to motivate him, because, like you said, he didn't lose the title.
I can see the perfect ending to this match. Roman has Edge in the guillotine because, you know, Edge's neck. He's got it cinched in. He's choking him out. Edge is about to fall. Roman thinks he has it. Out of nowhere, Daniel comes and hits Roman with the running knee. Roman's out or just rolls out to the ring. Edge is basically knocked out from the guillotine. Daniel just lays on top, 1, 2, 3, there it is.
Because
then he's outsmarted Roman. Edge may have taken the pin, Daniel wins, and now you have both people sitting there as possible contenders for the next pay-per-view if you want to go either way.
Yep, exactly. Like, I feel like you have more long-term storytelling options with Brian. Because the thing about Edge that I like is that he's not on any one brand, he moves, which opens up more opponents to him. And I know that he's there for a limited time, and I know that he wants to do as much as possible, but he's already gotten hurt once with his bicep working with Randy. So I think they're going to be really thoughtful with how they use him, because he only has a limited amount of matches. There's only so much he can do before he's going to re-retire. So I think whatever they use him for, it's going to be special. He's essentially the new Undertaker. He's the new special attraction. And they're going to think about how they use him, because it could happen where the next one could be the last one. And they want to make sure that they get the most out of it for him and the most out of it for them.
Okay. So who do you have?
I'm going to take Brian.
Brent, who are you taking?
I just gave the scenario, but it's like, from a storyline purpose, Edge winning is a perfect story finish. Him coming back after 10 years getting the belt that he never lost.
Mm-hmm. At WrestleMania.
And being an ultimate opportunist in a triple threat just solidifies that part of him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wants to do that, but part of me just thinks Daniel's got a little bit more immediacy to him. And I can't pick Roman. I can't. I think he's had it for so long. This is the moment for him to drop it. But I would also not be surprised if they pulled the Brock and had him win. Which is why this match is so good at the same time, because god damn it, all three people can win legitimately.
So hard to pick.
Everyone has a claim.
For this though, I'm gonna go with Brian, because if you have an underdog beat Roman, I think it puts a little chink in the armor. And it starts to get him a little more manic than we've seen him controlled so far.
Okay. Magic 8-Ball, will Edge win on Sunday? All signs point to yes. Yes. Anyway, magic Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3.
This one's legitimate, though.
And that on our list is who? Lindsay?
Daniel Bryan. Fitting Daniel Bryan is Wrestler 3. And Roman can just sit there and go, how did this happen to me?
Oh god, it becomes
a TikTok.
I made
a mistake.
With that all said, you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork to leave us your picks for WrestleMania. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. You have until 6 p.m. tomorrow night to get your picks in.
And with that, I think we're done. This has been our WrestleMania Pick'em.
Preview.
Everybody, thank you so much. Preview, pick them, whatever. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and spending time with us and sitting through all the hours of this. I'm so sorry it's so long, but there was a lot to discuss. And with that, Rock, you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Right after WrestleMania, tomorrow night, we're back. Live.
We won't go 3 hours, we promise.
We can't. I have another show called CB Radio following that.
Rock and I are going 3 hours total between the two shows.
Yeah, we are. We're going to be here. Good Lord.
Oh, God.
At CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter and superlive.com. GrandGridBite.com. Hopefully it's done. Not putting it together in the morning. Russell Talk Radio will be live 11 p.m. Eastern on Sunday to break down both nights. You can check us out Monday night for the Raw Post Show 11 p.m. Eastern. Following the Raw Post Show 11:30 p.m., you'll be able to get the Rock Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 15. And we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Night 2 of WrestleMania. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. As mentioned before, if you have Amazon Prime, you can get your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketTalk in the Fortnite item shop because we are a hashtag epic partner. They brought back skins and stuff. They haven't brought it back in like 2 years. So go check it out in the Fortnite item shop. Brent.
If you guys want to find me on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. I got it right tonight. Or if you want to find me on the network, you can watch me on Fortnite with friends when we're doing it after WrestleMania season, because there's been a lot of stuff already and more to come. Or you can find me on CB Radio with the Intern's Corner.
And if you want to follow me on the interwebs, you can follow me at Linsward, LNSWARD. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you tomorrow night for our WrestleMania Night 1 review. So, for Brent, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you tomorrow night. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.